much about.
Let's steal a boat or something. Let's steal a fire truck. Let's have some fun. Do you have any Ritalin?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hi, I'm Mayor Ramirez. I play for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and I'm here to encourage you to fill out your census form. Don't worry if it doesn't make census when you open it. It will. It only took me 6.5 hours to fill out my census. They just want to know things about you. I put down, I live with a lollipop. I have dust mites under my bed. The clown from Poltergeist scared me a lot. I sing a song. So all you gotta do is fill out your census form and send it to the government, and they'll take all your money. All right.
How far is the the festival from the Marriott Palm Desert? Do you know?
David Hasselhoff is a legend in Europe.
I'd love to, you know, introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
And now,
I think if we have world peace, everything would more or less be pretty well.
Our feature presentation.
By the way, that's accurate.
It would be pretty well.
Yeah, if we had world peace, everything would be pretty well.
Sure. That's true.
I think. I mean, it seems accurate to me.
I don't know. I mean, that guy's got some good ideas. I don't know why we just don't go with what he's saying.
It's hard to argue with him.
Yeah, you're right.
So, death of the day, Bean, you got someone?
I'm very offended that it is suggested that I often bring doom and gloom first thing in the show.
Well, no. Well, that it was said wrong. You bring it for the whole show. But this is the first chance you get to bring death to
occasionally
people.
Look, where's my let's get Omar to whip me up a Bean Loves Death jingle, first of all, by the way. But second of all, sometimes they are tragic stories that I bring you, but oftentimes I bring you, you know, humorous stories or interesting stories or unbelievable stories.
Right.
Or sometimes we just talk about what's going on with people on the show.
All of the above, which end in death. Humorous stories that end in death.
Right. Funny death.
All right.
Funny
death. I've got a great story from yesterday that does not end in death. How about that?
We'll be the judge of that.
See, we have a very busy show most days, and I don't get the opportunity to talk about most of the things that I enjoy talking about.
Right. Which is by design.
That's why I try to squeeze something interesting in first thing before we get too bogged down with other things.
She said.
Here's a great story about a bank robbery that was foiled in San Jose yesterday. Did you see this?
No.
This guy teaches new media at San Jose State University. He's standing in line at a bank when he hears the guy in front of him ask for money. Say, I've got a gun, and I'm robbing the bank, right? So the guy standing behind the robber, who's 6'2", weighs 260 pounds, reaches out from behind him and clamps him into a bear hug and holds him for 5 minutes until the police arrive.
I like it.
That's awesome.
So apparently he can barely breathe?
He just squeezed him. Yeah, just squeezed him and hung on. Didn't fight him. Didn't knock him to the ground. Didn't do anything like that. Just bear hugged him and hung on. Apparently, the teacher from San Jose State University is a photographer who's actually won a Pulitzer Prize. Pretty well known guy. He says he has photographed so many crime scenes before that he just wasn't nervous, and he just, you know, it was very, you know, just very calm and came up with a plan and just decided to bear hug the guy.
Huh.
And by the way.
Guy died?
This story doesn't end with it, but the robber was able to get out and grab a gun and shoot the guy in the head and kill everyone in the bank,
right,
and then go home and kill his family and then head for D.C. to take out the government. Doesn't end with any of that.
But he died.
Nobody died.
Oh.
He just bear hugged him until the police arrived, and he was a hero, and everyone lived happily ever after.
And then the professor died because he used too much energy holding the guy in the bear hug. No?
He was totally fine. The dude's a stud, though. I mean, most people would just freak the F out if they realized they're in a bank robbery.
And
right?
Then a car driving by, some guy had a heart attack because he realized what was going on and died.
Well, some old lady in the bank,
right,
who was very concerned. She died because... Exactly.
Have we ever done a phone topic, by the way, on people who were in places that got robbed?
I don't know that we have, but
because it happened to me one time.
You were in a 7-Eleven, clearly.
Yes, I was in a 7-Eleven. Exactly. Yes, Lisa, I was in a 7-Eleven.
With a ski mask and a pistol.
I wasn't doing the robbing. Oh. No, a guy came into a 7-Eleven while I was in it and held the place up.
I'm going to put my face under the Slurpee machine, and there's nothing you can do about it.
I used to work in a bank as a teller, and it had been robbed twice right before I started working there within 6 months. And a couple of the girls that had been through that were jittery messes.
I'm sure.
That's completely unnerving.
They die?
Like,
No.
Now you sound disappointed, Kevin, that nobody died in my story.
Because you found this story specifically to counteract that, you know, that thought that people are starting to have.
Okay, well, when the guy was doing the bear hug, did he say, I'm going to take you to the bank? The blood bank.
Oh, he should have. That would have been so awesome.
Good question.
All right. So anyway, so there you go. Nobody died. I just like the record to reflect that at least today on the 15th of Aprilingus that nobody died, okay?
That's a one day. Good enough.
Okay.
All right. I'll find some death for you tomorrow. I'll make sure lots of people die in tomorrow's story.
Let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
All right. I know it's hard to believe because we're well into spring, but they've got just tremendous snow happening at Mountain High, very famous and beloved California ski resort. And we're going to hook you up with a pair of lift passes up there just for being on the air with us at 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin Bean's What It Do, Nephew. Let's start with Joseph, who's got some good news, bad news for us. And Joseph starts us out on line 3 today. Hey, welcome to the show. What It Do, Nephew?
What's up?
Oh, man.
Did you die?
Are you okay?
Sorry, I'm really tired.
Yeah. What happened?
So I drove so far, like 20, 30 minutes.
Hey, do me a favor. Hold on a second. Slap yourself in the face. Just bam! Slap. Bam!
There you go.
That wasn't much of a slap. Okay, go ahead.
Joseph, I think what Kevin is suggesting is you need to understand that you're speaking to a large audience, and you need to, I don't know, bring up the energy a little bit to make it interesting for the listeners.
Just for a few seconds.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Okay, fine. So I was trying to get some booty from my lady.
Right.
And I drove hell far out there, you know.
You drove hell far?
I drove really far out to get some booty.
All right, we got it.
Because she's like, you know, my dad's not going to be here, and everything's going to be cool.
Okay.
And guess who decided to stay home from work today?
Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that coming.
So then.
No bueno.
So that was good?
No bueno.
No, that was gay as hell.
Yeah.
All right. That's the bad news. So booty call failed. I understand from Miss Cleo, who took your call, that there may also be a silver lining in this dark, dreary cloud.
There definitely was.
Any so,
hear about that?
Tell us
what that is.
So. Because of my,
you're unbelievable.
I already used a lot of what she gave me. Because
what is it that she gave you?
Because of what she's driving out there,
pot.
I ended up getting
he got some pot.
A lot of pot.
I can't wait.
And a pot lollipop.
A pot lollipop?
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty cool.
You know, everything is not an anecdote. You have to discriminate. You choose things that are funny or mildly amusing or interesting. You're a miracle. Your stories have none of that. They're not even amusing accidentally. And by the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
And did you learn anything?
That's a better question. So here's the thing about storytelling, people. It should take about 10 seconds. You start 9 seconds before the action. You go, hey, I went out for a booty call. Dad was home, wasn't expecting it, but I got a big bag of weed.
Woo-hoo.
That story's done right there. You're finished.
Right.
And then if we have additional questions, we can follow up, and then you can fill in the details as needed.
And then he was home.
That's awesome.
So that.
This is the best. Mike is so happy right now. Finally, a guy on the show who makes Mike sound like a concise storyteller.
Let's not push it.
He was almost stereotype-like how low energy he was. Yeah. Awesome.
He's a guy who didn't need an additional bag of marijuana.
No,
that was the worst thing for him.
He was fine.
He needs meth. He needs some kind of upper. All right, let's go to Victor. Hi, Victor.
Hi.
Hi, Victor. What is going on?
How's it going?
My name's Victor.
Right, that's why I said hi, Victor.
This is a bad start.
What's happening?
I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't take any more calls. Look, did you learn nothing from hearing the experience we just had with Joseph?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right.
What happened?
Okay, so I've been at work since 5 in the afternoon yesterday, and I get out today at 7.
7 a.m. or p.m.?
AM, but I've
that's
been
a 14-hour day, right?
14-hour shift. What do? I hope you're a surgeon.
I'm a security guard for CSI New York.
Oh, really? Wow. Oh, so it's just a really long shooting day?
Yeah. Well, actually, they finished shooting, and I'm just watching a truck and, like, some porta potties.
All right.
Oh, wow.
So they gave you the good stuff. Guys, we got to put Victor on the porta potties. They're in danger tonight.
Is it a porta potty that Gary Sinise has already crushed or something?
No, they're actually pretty fancy porta potties. They have like air conditioning and like radios and stuff in it.
Air conditioned porta potty.
Yeah.
What?
It's crazy.
Hey, I don't watch any of the CSI shows. I don't mind them. I just don't watch them. Who's on that one besides Gary Sinise? Who are the other stars on that one?
The hot Greek broad.
Yeah.
Tell you the truth, I don't watch them myself.
Yes. Okay, but it doesn't filter down to you who the stars on the show are?
I know that guy that played John Connor in Terminator 2 came out in an episode like 3 weeks ago.
All right. Good info.
Yeah, Victor.
Thank you, Victor. You hold on.
Guy needs a booty call and some pot. That's what he needs.
Dare we take another one?
No. We got to be done. We can't go on. I think we just have to cut our loss. We just have to say there was some sort of an impact of a meteor or something today has affected everyone. So we're going to pass and revisit this tomorrow.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Uh-huh. What's that all about?
It's about John Cho from Flash Forward.
Hey!
Love him.
Yeah.
He's gonna die, you know.
That's what he sees.
Yeah. And his Flash Forward, he sees that he gets murdered by his own FBI partner.
The what partner?
A guy who works for the FBI.
The FBI!
You don't have to set him up.
It's been a while.
Yeah. That comes enough. You don't need to set him up.
This is your wake-up call, man! I am an FBI agent!
One of the toughest men on the planet, Dan Henderson, on the program today from Strike Force. He's going to be fighting Saturday night on CBS.
Okay.
We have Dr. Drew from Sober House on the show today, as we do on Thursdays. We have Christopher Mintz-Plasse on the program today, who, of course, was McLovin and is in this new Kick-Ass.
Yeah, it looks great.
We have Kevin Smith back in to help fill in for Ralph. Very excited.
Fantastic. Love it.
We have a new Internet Roundup. We have highlights from last night's 200th South Park.
Oh, cool.
200th. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
And a story about the military that is now blasting music on the battlefield. Now they're actually blasting it where they're fighting, not just where they're interrogating. They're actually blasting music, Metallica or whatever.
Whatever works, man.
And according to the story, I don't know, it sounds odd to me, but people come out and they go, hey, what's that music? That just doesn't seem likely.
Is that a party?
Hey, that doesn't I don't like Metallica. So that seems to be how it works.
I like Kevin's gun sounds.
I don't know.
I thought I did bad gun sounds.
You do.
Yours are just as bad.
I'm not saying they're not. It could be worse. And we have tickets for Coachella. 3-day passes.
Yeah.
How about that?
I have tickets for what? I'm sorry.
You heard me. So that
I
is...
I didn't hear the name of that. What was the name of the festival?
He said that name. If you missed it, that's too bad.
Thank you, Lisa.
It's this weekend, but I can't remember what it's called.
You're with the guy that went for the booty call and got the pot.
Yeah.
You're a little slow on the uptake. Sorry. We'll take a quick break and come back with the showbiz beat.
Hey, guys, I listen to you online from Denver every day, but I have to ask, on your website, there's an ad with Kevin advertising TiVo that comes up on the side of the radio browser. Why does he look like a confused Cocker Spaniel in this picture? I mean, seriously, Tom. Kevin, what was going on? Because I've never seen anyone who advertising a product that he loves more, as I know that you love TiVo, yet you look so angry, like you're going to bust some heads. What's going on with that photo?
That photo is completely unrelated to this particular commercial or even this year. I mean, I think it was taken.
Oh, it's a stock Kevin photo?
Somebody picked it and said, yeah, that's a good one. Let's put it on there. And I really do. I look like I'm
you're
angry.
Very mad.
I'm angry. I'm alive that day. And I don't know why they would pick that picture.
You're walking into the octagon in this photo. Yeah. I can't figure out what the drama is about TiVo.
I
thought you'd be smiling and happy.
I don't know who picked that picture. It wasn't me. And it's a terrible choice because I do look really angry. So
I like Tom's assessment that you look like a confused Cocker Spaniel. Right. That's a good one.
It's acceptable.
All right. In for Ralph Garman. Time for the showbiz beat. Everybody was talking about it yesterday. Look, if you're filing for your 8th divorce, Larry King, it's not them anymore. It's you, okay?
At this point, you can't see. Since two.
Since wedding number two, exactly, yeah.
He is
Larry King, by the way, CNN talk show host, this man.
Snoop Dogg's in the house.
That man has filed for divorce. His wife, by the way, right afterwards filed for divorce from him. They've been married, believe it or not, they've been married since 1997, Larry King and Sean Southwick. So for a guy who's been married, eight times, that's a pretty long marriage, right?
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
She is seeking primary physical custody of the two boys, as well as spousal and child support. She also wants property and the couple's house in Beverly Hills. Here's the best part of the story. Look, lots of people get divorced. Larry King, 76 years old. The best part of the story is TMZ is reporting that the divorce was precipitated by a massive argument over Larry's faithfulness. Sean is accusing Larry of sleeping with her younger sister, says Radar Online.
Yes. All right. It just got interesting. I was going to say, no way is Larry cheating on anyone with anyone. He's 7,000.
He's 76. His wife, Sean, is 50. His younger sister, her younger sister, rather, is 45. Insiders say that Larry bought Shannon a $160,000 car and has spent more than $1 million on her, which is generally not the kind of money you shower on your sister-in-law.
It is if she's having sex with you.
Unless she's having sex with you, exactly.
How about that, Larry, laying down pipe.
Shannon did talk to TMZ.com, though, and say, I did not have an affair with Larry. He's been like a father to me, which is going to make it all the creepier when, in fact, the details of the affair come out.
Well, it's funny you say been like a father to her, because he brought out his children for opening day at the Dodger game the other day.
Yeah.
And he was going to be the guy who says play ball. You know, they like to really pack it with celebrities on opening day. So he comes out there with his kids, and they are shockingly young.
Yeah,
they're seventh graders.
He's like their great grandpa.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Right. And not only was he bringing out his seventh grade kids that he's 76, but he was head to toe like Ed Hardy and like the Dodger hat sideways.
Oh,
it was awesome.
Nice.
It was
awesome. Let's play ball.
Did he choke anyone out?
He's doing a little jujitsu.
Awesome.
I wonder if, obviously, here's a guy who likes being married. I wonder if we can go to Bodog or someplace and put money down on whether he'll get married again. What do you guys think?
Well, Elizabeth Taylor's getting married again.
How many times?
Say he will.
How many times?
He's been married 8 times to 7 women.
Yeah, there's no possible way he won't.
So
he sounds like the kind of guy
who
and divorced her twice, yes.
The only secret in this business is there's no secret.
Okay.
Be yourself. If yourself is good enough, it's good enough. If it's not good enough, it ain't good enough.
Imagine living with that guy. Imagine hearing that guy.
What if your wife's sister is good enough?
Well, there you go.
Is that the woman that he married twice with the sister?
No.
This is his current wife. Okay. Yeah. All right, so we'll definitely keep an eye on that story. Other relationship bust-up news, by the way. Mel Gibson has now broken up with his baby mama, Oksana Grigoryevna. That super hot, what was she, like a Russian model or something like that? They have only been together a very short time. Remember, he left his wife for this one.
Right.
And they have a 5-month-old baby, so that's good. If you're going to have a brief relationship with a woman 30 years younger than you, go ahead and get a kid out of it, because that's great news for everybody.
Yeah.
And I was surprised by this. Melissa Etheridge, who hasn't been in the news a lot lately, but an enormously popular Grammy Award-winning singer. Remember, she got married to her partner, Tammy, many, many years ago. They've been together forever. They also got separated after 9 years together. Which I was surprised to see. Who, is that for Melissa or for Tammy?
It's not for Tammy.
It's Melissa.
Oh.
Really? You think she's gong-worthy? Okay, I guess that answers that question.
She's kind of just average, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. Kind of not ugly, just but a terrible
not
singer.
Not on the Kevin scale.
Terrible singer, by the way. Hate her so much. And here's...
that's the only thing I like about her. She's a decent singer.
I think she's a good singer, too.
Yeah.
She's one of those... Blah, 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 one of those kind of singers.
Yeah.
Kate Walsh, who you know from... she's the hot redhead on that Private Practice show. Yep. She became famous on Grey's Anatomy, but she's been acting for a long time. You know, she... is in the middle of a divorce right now. Actually, it just got finalized. And we don't see stories like this very much, but because she's the primary breadwinner, she's the one who lost all the money. He got half of her TV earnings during the time they were together, which is pretty significant, and another $627,000 for his share of their joint properties, too.
That's terrible, by the way.
So he did pretty well.
That's really terrible.
Well, but it is fair.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's going to work one way, it needs to work the other.
Right, but it shouldn't work either way. I mean, my point is this law is obviously made for people in more difficult situations.
Well, I think it's often made for women who have children and haven't worked.
Right. That's exactly what it is, yeah.
Right. But this dude, what was he doing? Just sitting around playing Wii, yeah. PlayStation? What?
These laws were made for, like, Betty Draper. You know what I'm saying? When women had no ability to work so that they could have a life. It's nowadays, it really should be on a case-to-case basis.
So a guy makes a million, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, or in this case, the woman makes a ton of dough, and the dude shouldn't get it all.
Yeah.
I mean, half of it. That's ridiculous.
Here's the movie we could all look forward to, courtesy of Filmophilia.com. There's a new film called Butter being made.
It all sounds bad so far.
The movie is called Butter, and it is about the Iowa Butter Carving Competition, which happens at the state fair every year. You've seen the statues where a guy says, all right, here's Rob Pattinson from Twilight carved in butter. And they're doing a movie about that, which could be funny.
No.
Could be
good.
Why couldn't it be? Because
they're carving butter.
They made a funny movie about the Westminster Dog Show. They could make a funny movie about anything.
It's an exception.
Anyway, listen to the cast and tell me what you think. Jennifer Garner, Alicia Silverstone, Rob Corddry, Ashley Green, and Ty Burrell, who plays the dad on Modern Family. How about that for a cast?
That's
now, are you interested?
Cast.
Yeah, that's a pretty good cast.
The movie's supposed to be, let me see, Rob Corddry plays a womanizing butter carving champion who is forced to give up his title. Jennifer Garner would play his wife.
First of all, no butter carver is a womanizer. Thank you.
By the way, I love that Jennifer Garner plays his wife. Rob Corddry married to Jennifer Garner. I'm already in. That already sounds awesome.
Rob Corddry's the best. So.
He's hilarious, So he has to give up his title because he's involved in a sex scandal. Then his wife decides she's going to compete. So then she goes head-to-head with a surprisingly talented young black orphan girl. Then Alicia Silverstone is playing Brooke, who's a stripper who blackmails the butter carving champ after their brief affair. I'm in.
I'm in. Everything about that sounds great now.
Exactly. Today's celebrity birthdays, both of the Emmas are celebrating today. Oscar-winning actress Emma Thompson, who I guess most recently has been in the Harry Potter movies, among others. She's 51 years old today. And Emma Watson, who has been in the Harry Potter movies. Most recently, she is 20. And she's the one who's worth like hundreds of millions of dollars. And she's so hot, and she's so nice, and she's so smart, and she's only 20. Someone is going to score when he gets her. How about Ed O'Brien, guitarist for Radiohead, who turns 41 today? Another in the recently single pile, Anna Torv, who just announced last week that she's getting a divorce. She is, of course, one of the stars of Fringe. She turns 32 today, and actor Seth Rogen is 28. And that is the Ralph Showbiz. Hey, there was a big story last year, maybe the year before, about all these musicians that got together, including a lot of them that we play on the show, Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails, guys from Rage Against the Machine, and they signed a petition to stop the military from using music as torture. Part of it was because their music was being used as torture.
Yeah.
This would be for during interrogations, for instance, in prison camps. They would basically lock a suspect in the room, and they would just blast Rage Against the Machine all day at him.
By the way, sounds
like how you spend most Saturdays.
Yeah, for me, that would be a picnic. That'd be awesome. Rage Against the Machine is my favorite band of all time, but apparently they're not big fans. So happy about that.
So they all got together to sign a petition that says, hey, don't use music, especially ours, for torture. Well, this story that's in the news this week is talking about using music in a completely different way, not for suspect interrogation.
Yeah, it's on the battlefield. Now they're blasting hard rock music on the battlefield because apparently the Afghan soldiers don't like it.
Well, it's certainly not their kind of music.
Right. So, but I don't know. I mean, it can't be as simple as they come out and go, hey, where's that music coming from? And then we shoot them, right?
Or, well, hey, turn that down.
Hey, stop the rock music, you crazy kids.
Get off my lawn. Right. Or maybe it's just, they're in situations where they're hiding out. It's a gunfight, a battle, and they're trying to wait them out. And they just figure if they blast the music, they'll drive them crazy.
Or they can't hear each other talking.
Yeah, I don't know. Well,
they have giant speakers that can be heard like a mile or two away. And Marines in Marija, a farming community in the middle of Afghanistan's poppy belt, which, by the way, is about the lightest belt you can get in Muay Thai. I don't know if you know that, but the poppy belt is not very, it's not representative of
it's
of
after it. Like the first 3 months.
It's not the tough guys.
Yeah.
Basically, it's getting, they're complaining now, and some of the Marines are complaining, but we do have a military spokesman on the line. Let's see, his name is Sergeant Shred Ripmaster.
That's right.
Hey, Sergeant Shred.
Shut up, Omar. Just started the goddamn bit. What's it to you, maggots? Good morning.
Is he already laughing?
Oh, that's right. That's Major Omar. He's behind me. He's laughing. That guy's a hippie scum. Having a conniption fit back here. Good morning, maggots.
Well, Sergeant, I'm sorry, it's Sergeant Shred Ripmaster? That's right.
You got it. Oldest living active serviceman in the United States military.
Really?
107 years old.
107.
Get up! What's up to you? What's it to you, hippie scum?
All right.
Sounds pretty good. All right. So do we have the facts right? You are blasting loud American rock music at the potential insurgents. Is that right?
That's right. We figured it was so culturally against those terrorists. Scum that they would hate hearing Metallica, Thin Lizzy, Motley Crue, all the good, great American bands. Thin Lizzy, I believe, is from Ireland. I apologize in advance, Bean.
That's
what they hate that kind of stuff.
Right.
So they'd be coming out of their shanty towns. Next thing you know, yes, sir! Yes, sir!
All right, you don't need to shoot at anybody, Sergeant, while we're doing the interview, if you could just hold off for a second. So do they just they just hate it so much that they just give up? They just stop fighting?
Unfortunately, they've come to learn to love that music, as they should, because what? It's all great music. So we've had to change things around a little bit. We've got a whole new protocol of music that we are blasting these hippie communist scum out of their shanty towns with.
I don't think they're communists.
I think they are. What do you know?
Or hippies.
War?
Well, I just said
World War One, World War Two,
it's Afghanistan.
The Korean incursion, the invasion of Vietnam, Bosnia, Mogadishu, right. Iraq War One,
all
right. Iraq
hey.
War Two. Right now, I'm in trash canistan, buddy. What do you know about
Sergeant Shred? Hey, take it easy.
How old are you?
107.
Get
all right, first of all, take it easy. Second of all, what do you think about this Lieutenant Colonel Brian Christmas that is... he's complaining about this. He wants it to stop. Okay.
When it comes to warfare,
okay.
You got to go to any means necessary to destroy your enemy.
Okay, so Metallica's not working anymore?
No, we've got a whole new protocol. We've got these industrial-powered speakers. We put them right around this town in Afghanistan.
Okay.
And next thing you know, they hear this. Get some Nickelback, punk! Yeah!
Nickelback?
Like
hey, what? Nickelback?
Your eardrums can only tolerate that for so long.
That's true.
That is kind of cruel and unusual.
That is true, yeah.
Next thing you know, we press stop on the CD player, and they think, oh, that must be over. This hell is over. Get some!
Oh, no, not the Black Eyed Peas.
How kind of feel now with the boo-boo pow in your ears, bitch?
Sergeant Shred, are you like this 24/7?
What? I can't hear anything anymore. All I hear, mortar fire.
Okay, you're still yelling. There's no mortars going off right now.
You weren't in the rice paddy.
No, I wasn't.
You take advantage of freedom, but did you earn it?
No, but
I did it.
All right, so
I shed blood.
All right, so Black Eyed Peas.
And what about this?
Oh, Lady Gaga.
Oh, that is torture. they're going to give up when they hear the Gaga, that's for sure.
There's nothing worse than smoking hash out of a human skull, and that music's going on in the back of your head.
All right. Sergeant, we're going to let you get back to the battlefield, but we appreciate you.
No.
Oh, no, not Limp Bizkit.
No Limp Bizkit. You're not using Limp Bizkit. Come on now. All right.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Stand by for tickets to go see Coachella.
Nope.
Also, your IMMT tickets. Kevin Smith joins us next hour, and we'll talk to one of the stars of one of the highly anticipated movies of the spring called Kick-Ass coming up next hour as well, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Last night, South Park had its 200th episode.
200th
episode.
And most shows aim for 100. 100
is
magic,
a milestone.
Right?
Yeah, that's crazy. We can retire forever time.
Right.
South Park, I don't think, makes as much money as, you know, some of those shows do, but it certainly does well enough, I'm sure.
Nobody could have predicted this, especially Matt and Trey, by the way, when they started with a little show of foul-mouthed kids made out of construction paper. There's nobody who expected it would make a season two, much less, what are we into, season 15 14, now or something. Yeah.
So, at the beginning of the episode, the kids are touring a candy factory. And while they're walking through the candy factory, they see a guy that's putting fudge. He's taking the fudge and he cuts it and he puts it in a box. And it happens to be Tom Cruise.
Of course.
So, of course, this takes place.
Hey, guys, check it out. Tom Cruise is a fudge packer.
What did you call me?
Hey, that is Tom Cruise. How come you're packing fudge, Mr. Cruise?
I'm not a fudge packer.
Dude, you don't have to be ashamed or anything.
But I'm not a fudge packer.
Then why are you packing fudge?
I'm not.
Dude, you are in a fudge factory packing fudge.
That's it. I'm suing this entire intolerant town.
South Park, Colorado is the most insensitive, racist, and bigoted place in this country.
So they all panic because Tom's going to sue.
Yeah, he does that.
Now, here's the funny thing about South Park. He was actually packing fudge.
Right, exactly. That's all they were saying. They didn't say anything else about
it. Nothing else.
Because he's extremely heterosexual. I want to make sure that's clear.
Correct, you're right. And that's what they're saying as well. So Tom organizes a meeting of all the celebrities that have been insulted on South Park. Gets them all together.
Oh, wow.
And it's a huge group. It's George Lucas with Harrison Ford with a ball gag. It's Steven Spielberg. It's Jared from Subway. It's Britney Spears, Hillary Clinton, Rob Reiner, Charlie Sheen, Jimmy Buffett, Sylvester Stallone. Everyone that they've ever insulted, including the crocodile hunter with a stingray still hanging out of his heart.
Oh, my God.
Awesome. So Tom makes a demand. He says, we're going to sue the city out of existence unless you bring me one person. If you bring me this one person, we'll call off the lawsuit. And it's the Prophet Muhammad.
Oh, no.
Right.
Who you're not allowed to picture.
Not allowed to see, not allowed to picture. It's a bit of a problem. But he explains to the celebrities why.
Muhammad has a power that makes him impervious to being made fun of. What if we could harness that power? By taking what Muhammad has, we would all be safe from ridicule. Like Tim Burton here. Imagine it, Tim. Nobody could rip on you for all the rehash movies you've made lately. There'd never be a TV show that pointed out you haven't had an original thought since Beetlejuice. And you put Johnny Depp in the same crappy music in every film. And if you're that in love with Johnny Depp, you should just have sex with him already. A TV show could never say that.
So they continue insulting while doing the show.
That's great.
So the kids from South Park decide, all right, let's try and get the Prophet Muhammad. But they can't show him, so they have a very difficult situation. So they bring him in a U-Haul truck with no windows. So nobody can see him. And then now they're to the point where they need to transfer him from the U-Haul to Tom Cruise's limo that he has sent for the Prophet Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're not trying to worship or do anything else. They want to, I don't even know if I can say it. they say that that every human being has goo in them.
Okay.
And it just means life force, life blood is what they mean. And if they can get that from the Prophet Muhammad, then they can never be made fun of again either. So that
sounds reasonable. Sounds like a good plan.
They're not going to worship or anything. They're just going to try and take it from him. So they try to figure out how can they get the Prophet Muhammad from the U-Haul truck to Tom Cruise's limo, which is sitting there. Tom's not there. He just sent a limo for him.
Okay. But Muhammad can't be seen, Dad.
All right, we'll put a sheet over him.
No, you can't even show his feet.
Okay, how about like a big mascot outfit? One that covered him completely, head to toe, not even showing his eyes.
Muhammad, would that be okay?
Okay.
Okay, so they all agree to that, and he gets put in this giant, like, bear mascot costume, like the UCLA Bruin, something like that. And he starts walking toward the limo, and of course they've had a lot of threats of violence, because you don't mess around with the Prophet Muhammad. So they have a lot of threats of violence. And as he walks toward the limo, it explodes. The limo explodes.
Oh, no.
Right. And Muhammad is knocked back, and everybody doesn't know what to do, and they're trying to figure out what to do. And so they try to figure out who might have possibly done this.
What kind of extremists are these?
You won't believe it.
Our time is near! Soon, gingers will never be made fun of again!
Oh!
Ha-ha!
So it's a gingers? Whole group of gingers who are there to take their revenge, and they want to get whatever Muhammad has so they can't be made fun of anymore. So they're going to steal it from the celebrities.
This South Park has everything.
So the celebrities decide, if it's violence that gets what you want, we're going to have to get violent. And they go to the only celebrity who has not been seen yet, which is a gigantic, like 7,000 times the size of a human being robot. Of Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember Mecca Streisand or whatever, but they mocked her so hard on that episode. And so she was pretty much blown to bits. And now they've rebuilt her bigger and better. And they walk out to where Barbara Streisand is held up by, you know, those like when they're launching a space shuttle. They have that giant tower. She's being held up by one of those. And the celebrities all walk out and Tom Cruise is leading them, and they talk about what they're going to do with Barbara Streisand, and maybe the funniest line I've ever heard.
There she is, Tom! Barbara Streisand! My God, she's even more terrifying than I remembered. Mrs. Streisand was blown apart in the town of South Park. She's probably more angry at that town than any of us. Power her up! Release the Kaiken!
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Release the... Because...
Oh, my God.
Because in Clash of the Titans, they have a huge monster that's created by Satan called the Kraken.
Right.
Right.
So, and release the Kraken is like the main point of that. We're like, now destruction is going to happen.
Oh, my God.
So they say release the Kraken, and I laughed about that for 3 hours last night. Just, I kept thinking about it going, who else could get away with this?
Yeah, no one.
But they're in the midst of offending every group on Earth, so it kind of fits, and right. They can get away with it. So that's storyline A, and she starts going crazy and heading for the town. Storyline B is some crazy, whacked out, Eric Cartman's trying to find out who his dad is. He's never had a dad. He's only had a mom. He's been told she's a hermaphrodite, so she's his mom and dad. But he wants to find out the truth now.
Right.
So he goes to Mr. Garrison, and he makes him put on Mr. Hat or Mr. Hand or whatever the hell that puppet is. And the episode ends with Eric finding out who his father is.
Really?
Yes.
All right, Eric. Your father was in the room the day of your DNA test, but the results were tampered with.
By who? God damn it, Garrison. Who is my father?
To be continued.
Oh!
Damn it!
That was the end of it.
Oh, those bastards.
So, Barbara Streisand is the giant monster is heading for South Park. Eric Cartman's about to find out who his dad is.
How did Kenny hold up in episode 200? Is he all right?
Kenny was okay.
Okay, good.
Kenny was good. I don't know. Maybe he got blown up by the limo. I don't know. I wasn't paying that close attention because I was. But so to be continued. So that's
it's your favorite show of all time ever.
It's my favorite show of all time ever, and that's Hearts and Thoughts. They fade away.
Hey!
Lisa!
6:30. Well done.
It's the world famous K-Rock at 6:37.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Christopher Mintz Plus. He, of course, was McLovin, don't you know, in the Superbad movie. Now he's one of the stars of Kick-Ass. He'll be joining us in about 20 minutes. Kevin Smith next hour as well. And stand by for your tickets for potentially a trip to London for you and someone to go see Iron Man 2. That's coming up in the next few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we loves the internet, and you loves the internet roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's internet roundup.
Get an update maybe at some point.
Nope. That's what I've been saying
in our lifetime of that theme song.
I've been saying that for a year.
That guy who sang that song, he's not even alive anymore.
He's dead. He has died. Yeah. That's true. Right. It's sad.
Well, we spend all of our time on the internet so you don't have to, and then we compile the best clips of the week and put them up every week at kevinandbean.com. I think you'll be very pleased. Here's one, and let me find out what kind of person you guys are. When you get the email that says, here's a link to a YouTube video called Baby versus Cobra.
Oh,
do
yeah.
You click on it?
Well,
I don't.
I'm scared to because I'm scared to because you don't want to see a baby get hurt.
No.
But I think clearly my mind goes clearly if it's up on YouTube, it can't have been right. A disaster. So there must be something good to it.
There's not a lot of context in this video. It's a tight shot of a little baby who looks like he's 14 months old, 16 months old, something like that. And he's on a little carpet and there's a giant cobra. And the baby is just playing with this cobra. The baby is crawling closer and closer to it, just like it would do for a puppy. And the cobra is reaching out and biting the baby. And you hear all these people talking around it. There's never a wide shot where they show you what the event is or who are the parents or the people supposed to be watching this kid. But they're just having a conversation. Nobody's paying attention to this kid on a blanket with a snake.
Except for the cameraman. Who seems to be getting a good shot of it.
Yeah.
He seems to be shooting it, but here's a little bit of the terrifying audio, and you should see the video, and I'll let you know that, nothing beyond getting bit by a cobra happens to this baby, so it appears to be fine, but it's the craziest thing you ever saw.
It's just, and the weird thing is the baby's looking at it like it's a stuffed animal.
Right.
Like,
right,
it has
exactly.
No clue what kind of danger.
Of course not.
The beauty of this video is that the baby doesn't know the consequences. So every time the cobra bites it, the baby hits it back in the face. Like, what are you doing?
It must be defanged or
it
whatever, right?
It has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it
oh
has to
God.
Be.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Because I'd sure like to see the adults around that baby, I don't know, take a little interest. But
hey,
anyway.
Did you see that? What happened to the kid?
Check that out on the Kevin DeBeat Internet Roundup. George St. Pierre is one of the great MMA fighters of all time. He famously talked down one of the other fighters. I think it was Matt Hughes. He said he was not impressed with his style of fight at all. He gave a speech one night at one of the events and then went on to beat Matt Hughes in a later fight. And somebody took that and turned that into a remix because, let's face it, nothing is of any value in this world anymore if it can't be turned into a remix. Check it out.
Oh, my God. Boxing. Oh, my God. Jiu-Jitsu. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Pete Spratt. Not impressed. Frank Triggs. Not impressed. Matt Hughes. I'm not impressed.
Awesome.
St. Pierre, I think, is fighting Anderson Silva next, too, by the way. So yep. Maybe there'll be another remix coming up. Well, YouTube, of course, about half the videos up there are people shooting little tapes of their kids doing wacky things.
Right.
And here's a fat kid in PJs. You're not going to believe this poor kid. And his mom doesn't seem to have any problem with him taking a banana, using it as a microphone, and singing some Lady Gaga for the world.
All right.
Watch out, baby!
There's no end to the beatings that poor kid is going to get once this YouTube video
gets
sent
by
his
classmates. But his mom's going to tell him that he can make it, and he's going to be on American Idol in 10 years.
I hope you're wrong. I mean, he does make the ginger kid look macho. This kid in the PJs, very.
He's probably already been beaten up.
One of the most popular YouTube videos of the past year or so has to be David After Dennis, the little kid who had anesthesia at the dentist, at the laughing gas, and then he just came out and he was just so loopy. Well, here's a grown up. Here's a woman who crazy stuff comes out of her mouth when she's sitting in the recovery room after getting some dental surgery. Check this out.
I feel like a unicorn just took me on a ride to a magical palace. Who's in the house? JC, tell me who's in the house. JC.
You okay?
Are you okay?
Forget about me. What about you? She goes on and on about unicorns, too. I don't know where that comes from, but that's on the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. And of course, if Girl on Unicorn is on YouTube, then someone's got to make a mega mix out of it. And it's DJ Mike Realm this time. Listen to this.
And he, by the way, that guy remixes the video, not just the audio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he always takes the video, and the video matches, you know, the words that are following the beat.
That's impressive.
Yeah. He does it live on stage, too. He plays that stuff back on stage.
Amazing.
It's very funny. And one more. Every week, we love to close the Internet Roundup with our friend Jimmy Kimmel. He does This Week in Unnecessary Censorship, where he bleeps out words that if they weren't beeped, you'd realize they don't need to be bleeped. He's not cussing. There's no swearing. But the way he bleeps it makes it sound like they are, and some unbelievable stuff comes out of people's mouths.
This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
They sent you to the hospital. Can you tell us what they were?
Yeah, I had a busted up lip and a pretty sore.
All I can say is Donald Trump f***ed me last night, and for the first time in my life, I can actually say I like a guy who f***ed me.
When we won, and you're f***ing a bunch of guys, and you're really happy, and one of the great moments was to see Nolan's face, and he's, you know, he's got f*** coming out of his f***.
What I do think that they all feel is that Prince William is a giant ass.
How did you f*** so many people for so long?
You know, Tom, I f***ed myself.
Wow. So you can see all of this week's videos and all the past videos, too. Just go to KevinAndBean.com and check out Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:51.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, our friend Kevin Smith is joining us again, coming up next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. It's the Kevin and Ke- what? Why is it hi?
Don't know. No reason. No reason at all.
He'll be doing next hour's Showbiz Beat, but let's take a look at what Ralph Garman would be talking about if he were here this week. And, of course, we have to start with Justin Bieber because it's Bieber's world. As you know, his album is number one in the country again this week, Kevin. Have you picked up the Justin Bieber? Have you picked up the My World album yet?
No. He's six.
You're not a believer? Shut up. here's the story. TMZ.com had cameras on Justin Bieber yesterday. Apparently, he had to get his driver's license. He turned 16 less than a month ago, by the way. The guy with the
car
in the country. And he decided to get his license. He was in Atlanta, so he went to the DMV there. And Justin Bieber getting his license is not necessarily the same as the rest of us. He, of course, jumped to the front of the line, which automatically, if you've been down to the, you know, the motor vehicle department, that saves you 5 hours right there.
The,
right?
The line is 57 people long at the shortest,
exactly.
point, yeah.
He also was able to talk the staff photographer into giving him the opportunity to take several photos so that he could choose the one that he looked the best in.
Can't do that. They take your photo, your eyes are closed, that's your license photo. That's how it works.
And historically, the worst photo you'll ever take in your life is the picture that they put on your driver's license that you then have to see every day for the next 5 years. Right. By the way, you know, he turned 16 last month. Usher, who kind of... you know, help Justin Bieber get famous, mm-hmm. sign him to his record. Usher gave him a brand new Range Rover for his birthday. So Justin Bieber, of course, in a hurry to learn how to drive because he's got this brand new $45,000 car in his driveway.
Sure.
And how does he repay? How does Justin Bieber repay him by swiping the number one spot of the Billboard album chart from Usher, who was number one last week, by the way. Justin Bieber number one this week.
Drama queen.
That's how Justin Bieber rolls, by the way. Yeah. He goes from being the musical guest on Saturday Night Live to... jumping to the front of the line, getting his license in a hurry so he can go out and drive his free Range Rover.
Here's the thing, though. You look at that kid, you go, okay, he's 16 years old, and look at what he's done. He's played at the White House, and he's got the number one album, and he's got this car at 16. Really, by 18, he's on his way down. These are the good old days. And when he's 21, you know, no one cares anymore, and there's a new 16-year-old sensation.
And then what is he doing?
And this is a good... you don't want to peak at 16.
Yeah, it's too early to tell whether he's going to be a behind the music or if he's going to turn into one of those guys who, you know, ends up with a long career. But I heard somebody the other day say that it looks like his hair is eating his face. Have you ever noticed that? The way his hair is all wrapped around it. Yeah. It's like he's being attacked.
It is choking him out. That's true. Lindsay Lohan is back in the news. She was supposed to have a deposition. I don't know if you've ever had a deposition, but it's like having dentistry without the gas.
Yeah, it's
the worst. It's
terrible.
It's the worst thing to sit through ever because the opposing lawyers will just fire questions at you and they don't have to have any basis in fact. They don't have to prove anything.
They're just looking for any little slip.
Yeah, and they just try to get you mad and try to get you to, you know, give up things that you wouldn't give up because you're angry. I mean, it really is hell, but you pretty much have to do it.
Yeah.
Not if you're Lindsay Lohan. Apparently, she had an important deposition yesterday. She was supposed to answer accusations stemming from an alleged alcohol-fueled car chase in 2007.
Sweet.
Oh, this was the one with the assistant?
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Or the assistant's mom?
They claim that she drunkenly hijacked their client's car and chased someone down with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the time.
Okay.
So, yesterday was the deposition. Well, she didn't show up because she was too busy for the deposition.
So...
Bean, did you know that that was an option, not showing up?
I didn't realize that. And I'm fascinated to find out what Lindsay Lohan was busy doing because she doesn't have a job.
Well, Bean, funny you would ask. She was browsing in a Beverly Hills clothing boutique.
Well,
shopping.
That's kind of her job.
She was shopping. So she
with
said...
the money she doesn't have.
So they said, hey, what about that whole deposition thing? And she said, too busy.
Wow.
So it's the Bean defense.
That's
awesome.
Doing
nothing... too busy to do whatever it is you're supposed to be doing.
Hey, I have a very full life.
I know.
On South Park last night, the 200th episode, what did they call Barbara Streisand? I couldn't quite make it. I couldn't hear.
I'm not going to repeat it because it's super offensive, but as was everything they said last night on South Park.
Okay.
So in the context of South Park, that was funny as hell, but it should not be said outside of it.
So they took care of the Jews on last night's episode. Now they're coming after the Mormons. Check this out. A Broadway musical next year. Kevin, you may even go to New York to go to a Broadway musical. The New York Times reports that Matt Stone and Trey Parker have gotten together with one of the guys who created Avenue Q to work on a show called The Book of Mormon about Mormon missionaries.
I'm in.
Parodying the story of Joseph Smith, the man who came up with Mormonism back in the 19th century. No casting for the show yet, but... I wonder how anything they do is funny. Let's face it.
Well,
I wonder if they
baseball
sell tickets
wasn't.
To a, well, except for everything since South Park has been funny. Okay. I wonder if people would go see a South Park parody of Mormonism on Broadway. That seems like it'd be a tough sell to the wide audience.
I would.
South Park fans.
They really.
But they don't go South Park fans. They don't go to Broadway, right?
Well,
really,
I would guess not.
I guess we'll find out.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's a good question. Is Matthew Fox the latest name on the long list of celebrity cheaters? Matthew Fox.
He's married.
I'm
going to
say no.
That's your answer. Stephanie Talbot would claim that you are wrong. She works as an exotic dancer at a joint called Stars Cabaret. Look, strippers.
They're getting a bad rap, aren't they?
Keep your mouth shut.
They're earning a bad rap lately, I'll tell you that.
I mean, really, honestly, this is to the point now where where a stripper will have a celebrity come in, and then they'll go to, what was it this time, In Touch Weekly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And say, oh, she had a hot night with Matthew Fox last summer. And
look, the reason we go to strippers and hookers instead of having a girlfriend is because we pay you to shut up. So stop it.
In most cases, you're not as hot as the money we give you. So part of that is shut up money.
Exactly.
But the other thing is Matthew Fox has been successfully married for 23 years.
Has he really?
Yes.
Wow.
Which is shocking, especially in...
Got married young.
In the world of showbiz.
Hollywood, yeah.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
I think I would side with him on this one.
Yeah.
You never know, but I would side with him, I believe.
I mean, she sang last summer, now she's coming out. What is that about? Money.
Here's a couple that's been married 13 years, but it will end this year. Larry King, talk show host of CNN, who's been doing his program for 25 years or more on CNN.
Before that, he hosted an overnight radio show for 700 years.
For a long time. Larry is 76 years old today. He's been married 8 times to 7 different women, and now he and his wife, Shawn Southwick, filed for divorce yesterday. He's 76, by the way. She's 50. The best part of the story, TMZ is reporting that RadarOnline.com says that Shawn is accusing Larry of sleeping with her younger sister, Shannon Ingman, who's 45. I don't... Look, is there any way a 45-year-old is interested in sleeping with Larry King at all?
That's what I'm thinking. And it's her sister.
Especially if it's her sister.
And it's her sister. It seems incredibly unlikely.
I mean, he's not irresistible.
Exactly. No. He's the opposite of irresistible. He's very resistible.
It's like you got to make it. You got to get the cash up front.
But she did, according to the story that Bean said.
This story says that that Larry bought Shannon a $160,000 car and spent more than $1 million on her over the years.
$160,000 car?
Shannon
and $1 million!
Shannon is saying and telling TMZ.com she did not have an affair with Larry. Here's the ooeyest part of the whole story. He's been like a father to me. Yeah, like Mackenzie Phillips' father is what she's been like.
Oh, creepy, man.
Anyway,
wow.
That's Larry King. Today's celebrity birthdays, how about Emma Watson, beautiful, talented, enormously rich actress from the Harry Potter movie. She's a Hermione, right?
That's right. I believe so, yes.
20 years old today.
Yes.
Back before there was a Pam Anderson, there was a singer and poster girl named Samantha Fox, who was very popular back in the 80s. At the time, I thought she had the biggest boobs of any woman who ever lived. She got famous as a page 3 girl in Britain, and then ended up they giving her a recording contract, and she was a nude model who was everywhere. Still looks pretty good. She's 44 years old today. Actress Emma Thompson, Oscar winner, 51 years old today. Ed O'Brien, guitarist for Radiohead, turns 41. Anna Torv of Fringe is 32. And our friend Seth Rogen celebrating his birthday today. Happy birthday, Seth, if you're listening. He is 28, and that is the Ralph Showbiz. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Hey, I forgot to give away the Iron Man thing, by the way. I suck.
You'll remember it next time.
All right, we'll do it this hour. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Kevin Smith joining us in studio. Hey, Kevin.
Now, wait a second. Let's give Iron Man 2 its due. It comes out on May 7th.
Right, but not right now because we have a movie that's coming out this Friday.
Oh, really?
That we're going to talk about.
Oh, I've seen this movie as well.
Excellent.
That's why I'm here.
Excellent.
That's right. I'm here as a witness. I can speak.
Kevin Smith told us yesterday when he was here that he saw Kick-Ass, loved Kick-Ass, and when we told him that Christopher Mintz-Plasse was going to be on the program, he said, hook me up. Let's do it.
There was nothing.
What's up, guys? This is Christopher Mintz-Plasse. They got chicken fingers. I'm going to run a train on these chicken fingers. I'm just going to be like, nom, 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 nom. The king is unprotected. I shall approach him from the rear. So let us raise our swords in victory. Crank the up to 11. And let's rip this realm a new asshole.
Yeah, what the are we talking about?
We've had a boner for Sodom ever since my dad mentioned it. But if I take you guys there, you can give me some wine.
Aren't you a bit young?
Do you like hanging out with this little girl?
We don't got no foreskins!
That's right, I have a cocaine habit, and each time you buy Superbad from some dude in Chinatown, that's one less line of sweet, sweet coke for the Plus and his ladies.
Here is McLovin, the 25-year-old Hawaiian organ donor.
I am McLovin.
No, you're not. No one's McLovin. McLovin's never existed because that's a made-up, dumb fairy tale name, you...
Chris, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, man?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you doing?
Very good, thank you. Do it. As you heard, writer, director, actor Kevin Smith in studio with us. He saw the Kick-Ass already. Very excited about it.
That is amazing, Kevin. I'm a huge fan, man.
Thank you, sir.
That's actually two nights ago. This is amazing for me.
That's very, very sweet. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the heck out of it. And especially, and I've been saying it for a few months, I saw it over in England when I was back there in October, and once Nick Cage and Hit Girl get in, forget it. The movie's instant classic.
Really?
It's insane what Vaughn's able to do with this little girl. And some people are getting outraged, but not, you shouldn't at all. It's ridiculous, but it's great. It's
the comic books. Yeah, they should, expect that from it.
Absolutely. There's nothing going on in this movie, and I don't mean this as a slam. This movie is wonderful. There's nothing going on in this movie that if you've been reading comic books for the last 10 years, you're going to ever be taken aback by.
Right.
But a lot of people, I guess, don't read comics.
So the storyline is that some kids decide they need to be superheroes and aren't, but do anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. And then in the midst of it, there's a story that's going on simultaneously about an adult who's treating it the same way. The Nick Cage character plays a comic book character he created, a vigilante named Big Daddy.
And Big Daddy.
His Robin is his little daughter, who's called Hit Girl. And the two of them... Like, it's a comic book movie and they're wearing costumes, but create the most brilliant on-screen violence you've seen in a long time. This girl literally jumps off a wall, like sidesteps off a wall and stabs a dude in the head. Stuff like that where you're like, oh my God, and she's less than 10.
That's awesome.
And Christopher I'm sorry, what's the lead guy's name?
Aaron Johnson.
Yeah, they've got their storyline is they're the two dudes. Well, I mean, Aaron is the guy who's like, I want to become a superhero. And then Christopher's storyline is his dad is the bad guy in town and he becomes kind of a faux superhero. He's classic. The writer Mark Millar has been writing comics for forever. Every classic comic book theme is kind of roped up into the movie, and it's just so much fun to watch.
This is the one. This is the type.
You just pimped out my movie, Kevin. That was very cool.
I was going to say
about the poster.
This is the type of movie that you see the trailer for.
Yes,
and you go. Awesome.
And it delivers. And absolutely. That,
right.
But that's rare.
Yes,
very, very
About
rare.
7 times out of 10, you go see that movie, and it's not as good as the trailer led you to believe, but every once in a while, one comes through, and you go, yes, that's
And
exactly
you know what it
I
has
expect.
Going for it, too? It has legitimacy and illegitimacy. It's legitimacy because it was a comic. It's, in fact, has been a comic for the last year.
Right.
Illegitimacy because they're not working with a Batman or a Spider-Man or something like that. Mark Millar and Matthew Vaughn, everyone involved created their own characters, their own world to run around in which nobody was bound by, well, Batman doesn't kill people, so let's not do that.
Right,
they took the gloves off, and as such, you get a comic book, a fun comic book movie, full of ultra-violence. And that's what it's like on the page. People tend
that's
to forget
awesome.
That.
Chris, is this the easiest interview you've ever done?
I'm just sitting back, and he's describing it better than I ever have.
Where are you, sir? Where are you right now?
I am laying in my bed in Calabasas area at the moment.
Right on. Today,
what are you wearing?
Don't ask me.
I had to.
Yeah,
I had to.
I could be naked right now. You won't know.
Are you on Chat Roulette right now?
Hey, Chris, let me ask you this. First of all, Kevin Smith, you've never worked with Nick Cage, right?
No.
Okay, Chris, what's that dude like? He's one of those guys who just seems like he's so crazy. Is he just a blast to work with, or is he actually a pretty serious guy on set, or what?
Well, Kevin knows from seeing the movie. I only have one scene with him, actually. So I got to meet him for about 2 hours, and he was very, very relaxed, very down to earth. You think, you meet someone of that stature, he's going to be a kind of a douche, but he's very, very cool, very sweet man.
And also, he's like somebody said, he's going through some financial troubles or whatnot.
Giant financial troubles.
I think it's created a renaissance in performance for Nick Cage, because I've seen two movies now back to back with him where he is Raising Arizona great.
Yeah,
again, the other one was The Bad Lieutenant. So good in Bad Lieutenant, and he's so good in this, and he plays. I this isn't spoiling it. You've probably seen it in spots, but he essentially does Adam West the whole movie.
Is that right?
It is so. Exactly it's such. It. Oh, wow. It's such a fun choice, and he sticks with it, never drops it.
Nicolas Cage is one of those guys who I would see any movie he's in, and then his name scared me for a while,
right?
Because he would pick other movies.
I think it's time
now
to put
back.
The Cage fear away.
Is that right?
Cage, the Cage love.
All right. I'm down with that.
And one more thing before we go. How about this Hit Girl? How tough was it to find an 11-year-old who could do the stuff that your Chloe Moretz does in this movie? Because she looks unbelievable.
She was amazing. I wasn't part of any of the casting process, so I don't know how difficult it was for them. But I think she was the second girl that they talked to. And Matthew knew right away. I don't even think she auditioned. He kind of just had a meeting with her and said, "You're the one."
You don't
and,
have a giant.
Pulls it all off.
You don't have a giant trailer and people feeding you grapes. And they come in and they go, "Hey, we'd like to hire this girl," and you go, "Yes or no?" Offer their head.
It's insane, man. She's already booked like four projects after this, working with Sam Worthington and Scorsese, and she has a remake of Let the Right One In coming out, man. She's going to be working.
She's
going to
be in a she's in a remake of Let the Right One In.
Yeah, yeah.
That girl
she's
is
a little vampire girl.
That girl is so good, man. Chris, you shot this over in England, correct?
Yeah, Toronto and England. Yep.
Isn't that weird? It's like when you look at the flick, they shot it overseas and whatnot. It plays, totally works.
Well, it looks fantastic. Kevin Smith gives it two thumbs up. Do you? I don't know if you give thumbs up.
I do. I think
whatever.
It's totally worth going to the movies. Very rarely does a movie come out where you're like, oh, I'll leave the house for it. This is totally worth leaving the house for. And then it on DVD a couple months down the road.
It is called Kick-Ass. It opens everywhere tomorrow. Christopher Mintz-Plasse, always great to have you on the Kevin Meacham, man. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Kevin. Nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you, sir. Call Rogan for his birthday.
I will. Yes, I will. Happy birthday, Seth.
Okay. Hey, that's Kevin Smith right there, writer, director, actor, who's going to be appearing at the House of Blues on Sunset Boulevard on the night of May 7th for one of his fireside chats.
That's the day that Iron Man 2 opens up. It's a celebration of the geek community. Wow. Iron Man 2 hits theaters, and we all go to a matinee.
See it earlier.
That's how we roll.
Right.
And
that's
then
right.
We come up and see me talk about Iron Man 2 for 3 hours and sweat and stuff like that.
Speaking of which, we've been having a running conversation off the air now for, a week, maybe?
Yeah, about a week. We need Kevin's help on this. A
lot of yelling goes on off the air, as you've seen behind the scenes. Which movie character would you want to be if you could choose to be any movie character? Not the actor that plays it, but the character.
So, to live eternally?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to take on the life of that guy or gal.
So, for example, in Iron Man, you'd be Tony Stark.
Yeah.
That might be your
strong choice.
Right.
That is a very strong choice. He
got laid often. He's a party boy. He's got nothing but money.
And he's one of those lonely genius dudes. They showed the scenes where he's by himself in the lab, just mad genius tinkering stuff.
Flying himself into the wall.
Yes.
the reasons I'd want to be Tony Stark are the same reasons I wouldn't want to be Bruce Wayne or Batman.
No dead parents.
Right. And the strife that you see. That he has,
he's emo. Batman's very emo.
Batman is emo, yeah.
And
plus, you can't understand what he says. There's that.
Now, I would want to be another
friend.
I would want to be another Christian Bale character. I'd love to be Patrick Bateman.
Oh, see, that scares
you.
With the chainsaw?
Yeah, talk about humping, though.
Yeah, he does get action.
And in that one movie, it only takes place over like a week. He humps like 80 chicks.
But he's like that Deborah Winger movie, man. He's the Black Widow. He mates and kills.
Tell me if it should worry us that Mike has seen American Psycho 100 times and read the book more.
Wow, that's a commitment. The book's a tough... I thought
it's not a good
book. A little tough. Yeah,
it's not good at all.
The movie distilled it quite well, but the book was tough to get.
He's done both.
What's the attraction?
Killing,
best guy ever,
domination.
He's buff and handsome and wealthy.
This is the buff part of it. Staying, keeping trim and whatnot.
There's a part in the beginning of only in the movie where he's doing his abs in the morning and he's watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre in the background, and then later in the movie he's doing the same thing but it's porn. Right. And I'm like, he's my man. That is my man.
But that's not what you've been arguing with Bean about.
No.
Because you and Bean have been having an ongoing argument about who you would rather be.
Well, I've sat and thought about it, gave it some real thought. And if you don't choose James Bond, you're dumb.
Because he's not
a huge fan of Bond in cinema, but if you think about a guy's life,
yes,
he never ever has a problem because he can take out any dude, even when he's strapped down to a table and there's a bunch of trained assassins in the room. He somehow wins.
He knows he's gonna win.
He can kick any guy's ass. And let's not even take I don't even want to talk about humping because
yeah, he gets lucky.
Let's look at the career of James Bond in the poon category. It's absolutely unbelievable. Decade after decade, he gets the hottest chicks on the planet and doesn't even have to take them out on dates or do anything.
You don't have to pick which actor. You can just say James Bond.
Plays a couple cans of blackjack, takes her home, and nails her. Every single time. It could be Halle Berry. It could be Denise Richards. It doesn't matter who it is. He's going to nail her.
But wouldn't part of your life, though, as James Bond be guys are always trying to kill you? And wouldn't that be inconvenient?
There's the rope into the sack, if you will. That's the dangerous one. Remember from that most recent movie, he's tied to the chair naked?
Yes.
And they bring that rope in there.
With the ball?
Forget it.
Yeah.
Right then and there, I'm like, keep all the poon. I don't want it.
But you know what? When that happens, when people try to kill him,
He knows he's going to win. Doesn't
he? He's nonplussed because he knows he's a fictional character.
And I've also said, and I've thought about that. Look, there's a lot of hang-ups to being James Bond. Like you said, you're working for the Secret Service, sure. And you got to go around the world killing people.
You have
and
all having people Secret Service. You have all the Not even the cool American
you
Secret
You have all
Service.
The new gadgets, though.
But that's true. They're way higher
about,
tech.
Think about on top of the poon, think about the life he leads. Like, while we're sitting here getting up in the morning to go to work, he's in Monaco.
Yeah.
You know, he's in Dubai. Doing sure. Well. He travels the world. He meets all the coolest people. He never, ever, ever is without the finest hotels, restaurants, foods, and everything. And he also just destroys the hottest poon on the planet. Yeah. James Bond is
that
my choice.
That was the deepest insight into Mike I think I've ever had.
We need to take a break. When we come back, we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. And we're going to find out who Bean would be, because this just incenses Mike.
I think he would be Max from the Where the Wild Things Are.
Oh, that's a great choice.
He's got the costume we saw.
We're trying to get him to take a picture, but he won't. All right. We'll take a quick break. 1-800-520-1067. If you could be any movie character in life, which one would it be?
We're lucky you didn't have to hear that conversation or that song. I'll tell you that. The studio got ugly.
You got to listen to Soundgarden. We had a...
Yeah, it was... But people showed their true colors.
Yeah, they did. Have Kevin on our side.
Yeah,
I did
come off very womanlike in the conversation. Yeah,
yeah.
I was like,
you were added to the estrogen, that's for sure.
I believe that. I've been indoctrinated by a woman for the last 11 years. Very much
all right.
so. Very much
all right,
so.
Let's get back on the topic here. Right. Psycho Mike contends that if you could have, in real life, any movie character's life, you're a bad person if you don't choose James Bond. That's the ultimate way to live in real life.
To Mike, look, it's the only choice.
So lonely.
Yes, but here's the deal, Kevin. His wife got killed. When you're in high school, right, and you're looking at the coolest guy around, what are the two criteria you look at? Guys want to be him, girls want to F him. James Bond is champion of both.
Yeah, that's true.
It's true.
He doesn't care about his inner life.
No. That's not true. Yeah. There are downsides to being James Bond, but they're so slight in comparison to the positives.
True.
Okay, now.
Guys, dead wife, whatever.
James Bond, my favorite James Bond moment, hands down. GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Pierce Brosnan, opening 3 minutes of the movie, maybe 4 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
It's a very action-packed sequence. Martin Campbell directs the movie, right? James Bond has this bomb. He runs away from a bunch of people firing guns at him, hides behind a corner, and he's trying to either detonate or, you know, set it on or turn it off. They're firing guns, and a bullet hits right by his head. And barely flinching, he just turns his head slightly to the left. That was my all-time favorite James Bond moment. Where I was like, this dude, literally, a bullet just grazed by his head, and he barely blinked.
It's the life of adrenaline and boners.
Okay, yes. Both of you, hold on. And I would like to say, Bean, with your music.
Take two. Superman. Who doesn't want to be Superman?
No!
Look,
this is the argument.
Yeah.
You fly. You're the strongest man in the world. You have X-ray vision to see through clothes. There's nothing bad about being Superman.
It never ends well for Superman. Here's why.
Right.
When you're a god amongst ants, sooner or later you notice it, and you're like, I'm going to enslave a planet. Sooner or later, Superman's going to go rogue. This has always been the problem.
But he never gets
people
laid
come
either.
Down on him. Well, he does.
No! No!
He does.
In one of the movies we're talking about, we're basing it on him as a movie character.
Yes.
Once he got laid, and it was in his ice castle, and you could tell Lois Lane was cold and didn't dig it.
No. You could tell.
He had to work his ass off.
She must have been the most amazing lover in the world, because he gave up the powers of Superman to be with her.
Yeah,
and when he was done, he wasn't like, that's it. I'm getting back in the crystal chamber. He was like, oh, that was worth it. Let's go to
the You know what James Bond has to give up? To get laid to a myriad of chicks? Nothing.
Nothing.
He takes
You're
the
right.
time it takes to take his pants off. He had to give up his gift, intergalactic superpowers to bang one chick that he had to work on with two identities for like 10 years. And he had
That's
to
too much work.
A hidden ice
That's
castle.
That's too much work. You're right.
Gaff that.
You know who I would be?
No!
Are you kidding?
Fredo Corleone?
Why
would you be Fredo?
Everybody respects the Godfather. What
Except for the
you
fact...
You take what you now, want, and it's yours.
Are you going to be...
So one day you're going to ask me a favor.
Are you going to be the Godfather,
gonna give
or are
you
going to be Michael?
I'm going to be the Godfather.
Right, Which one, though?
Yeah,
are you
going to
be
original.
Vito or Michael?
I'm going to
be Brando?
Brando.
You're going to be Brando?
I'm going to be Brando.
Okay. You die with an orange in your mouth?
I don't care.
See, man, natural food is no good for anybody.
Your wife has died a long time ago. You never, and you've sworn off other women. You have
I wouldn't
one,
though.
One son, who's a, one son who's gonna who's good. You got Michael. You
right.
have another son who's a complete maniac.
All right.
You have a totally inept son that plots against the family. That's
the problem. And the problem with your maniac son is because of him, you got some cool favors. You got to call in. and waste them on your dead son who was killed at a toll booth.
I'll change your daughter.
It's your daughter's wedding, and you have people coming up to you asking for some whack-ass pop star.
On my daughter's wedding, you ask me a favor?
Yeah.
All right, I'll change. I'll go with Jack Sparrow because he's always drunk.
Oh, I like it.
Listen,
we need to take some calls. We don't have time.
As far as lifestyle, that's a good choice.
Yeah, Jack Sparrow. We don't have pretty cool, man. I haven't thought about that. You're a butt pirate. Well done.
All right, we don't have time, but let's run through a bunch of phone calls. People, what movie character would you like to be? Nate.
Hey, what's going on? Jason May.
Hi,
no
Nate.
Time for chit-chat. Who's your character?
What movie character?
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones.
Strong. Oh, he's
but
pretty cool.
Right up until Crystal
Strong.
Skull,
he's
it
the
sucked.
American James Bond.
Strong, super handsome, yeah. Man of
That's
man
how
of
I
adventure.
Described, when I first saw Raiders of the Lost Ark, I went into school the next day, and I went to a matinee. Nobody was there, so it hadn't broken yet. And I went to all my friends, and I was telling Ernie O'Donnell, I saw this movie where this dude is as bad as James Bond. He was like, that's impossible. But he was. Indiana Jones
Let's
was.
Let's go to Rob. Hi, Rob.
What's up, Kevin and Bean, Lisa?
Hi, Rob.
No time for chit-chat.
What movie character?
Jason Bourne. Jason
no!
Huh?
No,
Jason Bourne.
Too
oh, he
hard.
Fights well, man.
He kicks a lot of ass. Pumps once, and it was that chick he had to work for in all of the movies.
And by the way,
dodging hey, 10 times hey, more bullets. Hey,
take it easy, dude.
Why?
Take it easy.
And also, why are you so angry? Getting laid once is fine.
No.
It could be many times.
Hey, it's worked for Kevin
person.
Smith.
No, but Rob, totally.
Rob, let me just ask one follow-up. He is miserable pretty much his whole life.
I mean, everyone's
turned against him.
He hates it. He hated it then. Now he's starting to remember it and he hates it. He's always miserable.
All right, thanks for the call. Let's try Carlos, line six, real quick. An interesting choice. Hey, Carlos, what movie character would you like to be?
Hello. Jack Bauer.
Jack Bauer.
He's a TV character, but okay.
He's had some bad.
He's gonna have a movie after.
He will, yeah.
One day, yeah.
You're right.
He does not have good days though.
Nothing but bad days.
He's got bad days,
and he never has to go
really
to the bathroom
bad
though.
Days that I know of.
It's like seven really bad.
Is that what
days,
it is? Has that show been on for 7 years?
I think
years?
So. I don't remember.
I'm going.
Yeah, bad choice.
All right, 500. Bad. Yeah, he's miserable. Right,
Kevin? Did you tell Kevin Smith? Did you tell us who your guy was?
I go logical, dude. I go close to home. I would be Silent Bob.
I have a clip.
There you go.
I have a clip.
Play the clip.
There it is.
All right.
Oh, that's good.
Who would want to be that
pretty
guy?
Good life. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:53.
Win Iron Man on DVD right now. Call the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067, and you're qualified to win a trip to London for the premiere of Iron Man 2. That's in theaters May 7th, the same date that our guest in studio, Kevin Smith, is going to be at the House of Blues on Sunset Boulevard doing his hilarious whatever it is Kevin Smith does on stage. Hey, a listener, Daryl, wrote in and said he did not find this date listed on the House of Blues website. Where can they go to get tickets, Kevin?
They can go. Oh, thank you, sir. They go to viewaskew.com, my website. We're handling the ticket sales.
House of Blues, okay. Denying all knowledge?
House of Blues is just like, I don't know who he is or what he's doing. I'm showing up in the parking
We've
lot.
We've never heard of this guy.
Yeah. I didn't tell him yet. I'm going to park a car there, valet, stand on it, and perform. So.
All right. Viewaskew.com. And if you didn't get that, we have it for you here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, in for Ralph Garman, time for the Showbiz Beat with Kevin Smith.
Hey, remember yesterday we broke the story about Martin Scorsese doing a 3D movie?
Yes.
Can I give you a few more details?
Please.
It is a 3D kids movie. The film, The Invention of Hugo Cabret, I think that's the way you pronounce it. It looks like he's heading into production with it. It's Brian Selznick's mammoth children's book about a 12-year-old orphan who lives in a 1930s Paris train station, is crammed with ornate illustrations that invite readers and potential movie audiences into a living world ripe for immersion.
Yes.
This is the dude that did Goodfellas.
You're right.
That's why I love him. He's so multi-talented. The dude can do the scene where, you know, you kick a guy to death, and now he's doing a kid's movie about a kid in a train
station. But even though it's a kid's movie, aren't you interested to see what he does with 3D?
Yeah, of course. I mean, this is a dude who's going to pay so much attention to every nook and cranny and detail in a Cameron-like way, but a different side of the filmmaker's brain.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see what he does.
I'm always so impressed to see guys like Scorsese, and particularly guys like Clint Eastwood, who are into their 70s and are doing such phenomenal,
natural,
like, top-of-their-game work.
Natural ability, man. These dudes are just born to do that job, and you can tell because they're still doing it.
I mean, you're a young dude. You probably don't have another good movie left in you, right?
Not at all. I haven't had one good movie in me in 15 years. Scorsese just farts them out. Can't stand them. Lindsay Lohan bails on a deposition, man. She's supposed to be in court doing a depot for the alcohol-fueled car chase in 2000. 2007.
Oh, stole her assistant's car, I think it was at the time, and then chased
Jesus,
someone.
Boy, she troubled. What happened to this chick?
I don't know.
Well, apparently they wanted her to come into court and talk about it, give a deposition. Very professional legal thing. You have to do it when they call you, don't you?
Yeah,
no. I guess not.
I think you do.
She didn't.
This chick did not. She didn't go. I don't know if she refused to go, but
if it was an option, I wouldn't have gone. I'll tell you that right now.
Right? Because who wants to be there?
Who knew?
And she went shopping instead at Beverly Hills boutique. Which one do you think that was?
All of them.
Lisa Klein.
She probably went in and out at each one.
What about, what's the one that begins with a K?
Kitson.
Is that still hip or no?
Oh, yeah. That's
is it really?
Is it? I don't know. Yep.
That was weird. I introduced to the hip.
I don't know.
It was hip, and it was weird concept either, of a hip store. And I went into it, and I felt so square.
It's hip if you're someone who's young and has no taste, trying to look hip.
Is that
you
it?
Know what I'm saying?
That's where it is now.
Like my wife?
That's where it is now.
Because she likes to go there.
Oh, no. Then it's hip.
No, it was back in the day. She hasn't wanted to go.
It's one thing in 2005, but now they're just selling the stuff that like you're pandering, you know?
Right. So essentially, in your estimation, they're kind of like, what's that store that you go to at the mall where you buy Hot Topics.
Yes.
Is it like a high-end Hot Topic?
It's Hot Topic for people who make six figures and above.
Interesting. I like Mike, man.
Would you say
Mike,
it's
a font of information? He's awesome.
I'm sorry.
A little weird with the whole American Psycho thing, but other than that, a really good guy.
You delve into that sometime. It's way more weird than we got to pick into that.
And also hearing the whole I want to be James Bond thing was very insightful. Yeah, it was all predicated on Poon.
Kevin Smith, we got to get you on Mike's other show on the Love
Line. I'm doing it.
You guys will have the time to explore all that.
Me and Mike talking about sex will be amazing. Amazing. Tiger Woods met with a divorce attorney. Is anybody surprised by this?
No, but I thought
they were going to pretend for a little while longer.
Oh, how could you? You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on. If there was one, maybe you pretend. Maybe you make through like, you know, he screwed up and I'm going to make him pay for it for the rest of his life. Aren't there like 96 now?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah,
two and above seems like you're out.
That's true. Even two is bad because then you're cheating on your lover with a lover. apparently, she met with a divorce lawyer shortly before flying to Scottsdale, Arizona. Radar Online has learned exclusively. A source close to the situation said the lawyer spent several hours at the home. She's switched lawyers, the source told Radar. Her new lawyer is from out of town. So she's getting ready, man. She's circling the wagon. She wants.
Yeah. Does it?
Is she going to get, man? Because who's not going to side with her?
Does it matter much which lawyer she gets? I mean, in this case, he's on the record.
I could try this case. Your Honor, come on.
She walks in and he goes, done.
Twilight's running into some problems. Oh, go ahead, man.
Just a P.S. on the Tiger story. Look, I know that he says he's going to, you know, for the sake of his family, he wants to keep them together, and he's so sorry and everything. But isn't there a tiny piece of Tiger Woods that goes, yeah, it sucks that I'm going to get a divorce, but the poon I'm going to get now. Imagine.
If I'm that guy, I'm like, what's the difference? And I'm like, you know what? This is even better for me because I'm getting way more action. Yeah. Unless, like, the chicks were attracted to him because he was married and safe. There's that aspect.
Oh, but there's the other ones.
Which is the money and whatnot. Because it's not like the chicks are really into golf, do you think?
No. Not at all.
The Twilight books are meeting with a bit of a challenge, according to the ALA, the American Library Association.
Whatever the side the American Library Association is on, I'm on the other side.
I believe we must have accidentally hit the thrust, the flux capacitor, because I can't believe there's still an American Library. There are libraries left. Like, buy a book, man. They got bookstores everywhere, and books are cheap. Or download it for free.
You can buy them online, have them send them to you, download
them. God bless the libraries. It was a magical place when I was a kid, but it just seems so outdated and antiquated.
A little unnecessary now.
They're not saying we can't stand these Twilight books themselves. They, you know, report basically on any formal written complaint filed with a library or school requesting materials be removed because of content or appropriateness. They've gotten a lot of objections to the Twilight books.
Vampires?
Based on the sexuality.
There's no sexuality in
Isn't
those!
Isn't that kind of astounding? There's no nookie. Sex. Yeah, it's the opposite. It's the anti-nookie book. The book where there's sex implied because a baby is involved. The baby is born violently, has to chew its way out of a stomach or something like that. I mean, it's like, if anything, the message is like, kids, don't you touch that wiener. It's very, very, you know, anti-sex. I can't understand why people think it's sexual.
That's my biggest complaint with it, is it is a movie about vampires with no lust.
Yeah, there's no nookie
in these
books. Because
a lot of times these people don't actually read the book.
Well, they just get up in arms about hearing about it. And they're like, my kid likes this, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, look, if you're going to get outraged because there's no nudity.
Right.
Get outraged because you have a story about about people that bite each other, but nobody thinks about insertion? That makes no sense. No sense whatsoever. Celebrity birthdays. Guess who was born on April 15th, tax day, aside from my father-in-law, Byron, who's not famous, but it's
his
birthday today.
Good enough.
Actress Emma Thompson is. She turned 51. She almost played God in Dogma. Almost.
Oh, no
really?
Kidding.
Really?
Yeah. We went out. Alan Rickman was very good friends with her, and he said he'd read the script and dug in. He was in. He was like, my friend Emma Thompson liked to play God.
I love
like,
Alan Rickman.
I would love that very much. And then she'd sent me a letter on her own stationery. It had a little elephant on it. It was very cute. And it was his personal letter. It was like, I would totally want to do this movie. I was so in, but I've just decided that I'm going to try to have a baby, so I'm going to take a year off to do that. This was in the early days for me. So this is like 98.
So you were back. Can I help with that?
Well, yeah. I was just like, you need help? I got sperm. No, but I just thought, oh, she told me this. Everybody must know. So on my little website, I was just like, Emma Thompson can't play God because she's going to stay home, try to have a baby this year. Then we got a call the next day from her agent who was like, look, would you kindly stop talking about her plans to have a child? Because apparently all the British press showed up outside her house. I felt bad. That's when I realized that people paid attention to our website.
You're a jerk.
Anyway, I'm a total jerk. 51 years old. 51, Emma. Sorry about that, Emma. I don't even know if she ever went through and had the kid. I think she didn't because she was everybody's watching me now.
I think she did. I think she did eventually have one. Yeah.
Samantha Fox is 44, man. Samantha Fox is such a wild name.
She used to be hot.
She's still hot. She's a lesbian now, I heard. I read an article where she got a lover, a tacos? Chick lover.
All right.
She does like tacos. Guitarist Ed O'Brien, Radiohead, is 42. Actress Anna Torv from Fringe.
Yeah.
32 as well. Actor Danny Pino from, is it Pino or Pino?
I don't know.
The Peener from Cold Case.
The Peener, I think.
He's 36. And Emma Watson, who's 20. That's Hermione Granger.
Yeah. Sure.
There's a rich chick. That's who you want to get hooked up with and never cheat on.
Yeah.
Treat like a queen. Let her cheat on you. Encourage cheating on you. but live with her and spend that money. And she's so pretty and she's magical. She could do
stuff.
She does
have magic.
Time pieces that turn you back. She could probably duplicate herself in the bedroom. and speaking of somebody you want to duplicate in the bedroom, Seth Rogen is 28 today. Well, I love Seth Rogen. He was in a movie I did called Zack and Miri Make a Porno, one of the funniest, most talented people on the planet.
I have a clip of that movie.
Oh, let me hear it.
You got an idea?
We could make a porno.
Not the idea I was looking for.
It's all mainstream now.
I don't really see myself being in one, you know?
Look at Paris Hilton. She's selling fragrances to tweens, and I'm pretty sure she's legally retarded.
I always love that line. That's his line. He came up with it. Legally retarded.
Great line.
He's 28 today. Happy birthday, Seth. That's the showbiz beat. I'm just walking it for Ralph while he's chilling.
Thank you, Kevin.
We're looking for Dan Henderson from CBS Strike Force. Hopefully we'll get to him in a few minutes here on the Kevin Amine Show. Right now we turn our attention to this weekend. That man Dave Grohl right there is going to be at Coachella this weekend with his band Them Crooked Vultures. Hundreds. What is it? About 130 artists 130 or something to play this weekend?
Yep.
Starts tomorrow. 3 big days. Of course it is completely sold out. We've got a 3-day pass for you right now on the Kevin Amine Show at 1-800-520-1067. What's our new game that we're about to play? What's this one called?
Curse You Bean. Ever since we started talking about Coachella, every time I say Coachella, he says Ella Ella because of the umbrella song. So this is that.
The sun will be shining, bring an umbrella, or you will be one sunburned fella. The porta potties are real dirty there, but you'll be so drunk that you won't really care. At night time it gets colder than ever, so you better pack a jacket if you're really clever. It might be a really tricky endeavor for you to win tickets to see Coachella. Ella Ella.
Thank you.
So we have the beautiful Rihanna joining us here on the Kevin Beach Show to help us give away tickets. How are you, Rihanna? All right, please, English only, if you wouldn't mind, Rihanna.
So, I be speaking the English also in the island style when I shake the dread, it's contained a lime, man.
All right, so the way the game is played, as I understand, is it's kind of like the very popular Omaroku that we do on the show, except you, Rihanna, are going to be singing very popular songs by big artists that are going to be playing the festival this week, and all the caller has to do is tell us by title and artist what song they think you're singing, right?
That's right, man. I'm a professional singer, though. It's much different.
All right, Lisa May, keep track of the winners, if any, and then we'll find out who wins a 3-day pass for Coachella this weekend.
Let's start with Keith. Hello, Keith.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. You ready to win your tickets to Coachella, Ella?
All right, listen up. Here's Rihanna.
Good luck, Rihanna.
I ain't happy.
I'm feeling glad. I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long.
We need the band and the song title.
Gorillaz.
Yes.
I know someone's going to kill me because I don't know this.
Everyone's going to kill you.
You big fan of the car Gran Torino, man.
Oh, shoot.
Good save.
We were looking for Clint Eastwood.
I tried to give him a huge
Gran Torino. All right.
Well, that's okay. We got another contestant up next. Christina is on line 3, calling the Kevin and Bean Show, trying to win some tickets for Coachella. Ella. Hey, Christina, you're on with Rihanna. You ready to play?
Yes, I am. Hi, party people. All
right. Hi.
Listen up.
Me and my cousins, and your cousins, it's a line, it's always running, man. Me and my cousins, and your cousins, look, I feel it coming. Po, 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 po.
How come they all end with po, 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 po?
Because that's why I do the island style, which is come out of anti-Irie.
Christina, I don't know what you just said. Band and title, please.
Vampire Weekend Cousins.
Yeah!
Me and my cousins, and you and your cousins.
All right.
You sing like this.
You are in the running. Hang on, please. Let's try Lisa, line 4. Lisa, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to win? Good morning to you as well. All right, listen up. Here's Rihanna.
And not be anything you ask him more. Singing, eh. It's not a miracle we needed. No, I wouldn't ever think it's so.
That's enough, probably. That's probably enough. All right, which Coachella band is that? And what's the song title, Lisa?
No clue.
You do know.
Does this sound familiar? Phoenix, 1901?
It didn't sound much like it with the way she did it, but sorry about that.
All right, I think we have time for one more. How about Mark on line 5? Hi, Mark. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to win some tickets for Coachella?
I don't know if I know this song. don't look familiar.
Oh, that's not good. All right, Mark, you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Feel it coming in the air. Hear the scream from everywhere. I'm addicted to the thrill. It's a dangerous love affair. Can't be scared when it goes down. Got a problem, tell me now.
Have you ever heard this song?
Huh?
Have you ever heard
it? I don't know what this is, man. Yeah. Only thing that's on my mind.
All right. Mark.
That is all.
I don't know. It's,
you're going to hate yourself for this. It's Rihanna singing on the Jay-Z song.
Yeah. And the screams from everywhere.
See, because it's Rihanna. She sings on that song.
All right. How many, thank you very much, Rilla. How many contestants do we have in the drawing?
One.
All right, let's do it.
It's going to be a hell of a drawing.
Big drum roll.
Let me pick one. All right, let's see. The winner's Christina.
Hey, what are the chances of that? Christina, congratulations. You got all 3 days.
Oh, my God. You guys, I just gave up this morning, too.
Well, okay, you want us to move on?
No, she just gave up.
Christina,
she gave up trying, yeah.
Remember when you got to the Coachella, it's our Antama Contoso at the Blue Clock on the side of po.
That's a good point, Rihanna. Thank you.
That's a good point. We'll see you at the show.
I know it may seem really lame, but that was our game for Coachella.
Kevin, what are you going to be doing this Saturday night? Where are you going to be?
I am going to be at Coachella. Ella.
You're going?
Yeah.
Are you broadcasting or are you just going to listen?
I'm mainly going to listen, but I'll be watching the fight as well, if that's what you're asking me.
That's exactly what I'm asking. Okay. CBS Strike Force Saturday Night Fights is happening this Saturday night at 9 on CBS. This is a big, big deal because Dan Henderson, one of the most dangerous guys on the planet, is back after quite a few months off fighting against Jake Shields. Dan joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Dan, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Do I have this right? Do I have the timeline right? This is the first of your fights in the new deal with Strikeforce, right?
Yeah, that is correct. I've got, I signed a 4-5 deal with Strikeforce, and I'm excited to be on CBS.
Yeah, it's a whole different beast to be on a free TV channel compared to pay-per-view, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, on network TV, it's just a whole much bigger platform to be fighting on, and you know, the opportunity to broaden the sport and bring new fans, that's what excites me about doing it, and I'm excited.
I'm glad that this isn't the first one, though, because the first one that they showed on CBS, they felt like they needed to teach catch everybody up from the beginning. So they would go, MMA stands for, like that, and you go, okay, look, let's not go back that far. Most people,
it was
that are
MMA
watching...
101. You're right, it was right. Annoying.
But now they don't have to do that, so that's good news.
Yeah, for sure.
So, how long has it been since your last fight? It's been like 9 months or something, right, Dan?
Yeah, July was my last fight, so it's been a little while, but, you know, I feel like, I've got a great group of, fighters that I train and manage that keep me on my toes every day. I feel like I'm in a fight every day I'm at practice.
How many guys at practice? You must have like a stable of guys at practice that whose job it is to get beat up by you. Like, you get in and spar with me, I'll kick your ass, and then as soon as you're done, I'm going to have another person come in.
Oh, yeah. For some reason, they love it, though. You know, it's I try not to be... too rough on some of them, but some of them kick my ass right back. So, that's what makes me better.
You don't want to go all Michael Bisbee on them, is what I'm saying. You want to, like, have them around for the next time.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Can I ask a question for those of us who've never been in a fight?
Kevin Smith?
This is Kevin Smith, who's in the studio with us, Dan. Go ahead, Kevin.
Right. Sir, where is the place you like to get hit the least? I imagine every place, but where's the place where you're like, if I'm hit there, man, forget it?
I wear a top, so I mean, that's usually the place where you don't want to get hit.
Right.
You know, the chin is the next most dangerous spot.
The chin, because you can just go out. You're just out.
Yeah. This is why they always say keep your chin down.
Yeah. There's every single fight night, somebody gets kicked right square on in the balls. I mean, that happens.
Really?
Yeah. Every single time there's more than one fight, that happens. And it's rough.
But that's an accidental thing?
Yes. And they take, you know, because they do inside leg kicks and stuff. They're close. So but sometimes it's dead on. Sometimes it's right on the button, as they say.
Yeah, a lot of that depends on the style. A lot of times the guy's changing levels or, you know, maybe going to take a shot or faking or something, and the guy... He's kicking at the same time, and he kind of walks his balls right into the foot.
So. you know, if I remember correctly from what I read about Dan Henderson, who's on the line with us on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about CBS Strikeforce Saturday night, Kevin Smith, you and Dan Henderson are the same age. If I'm not mistaken, you're both 39 years old. Let's take a look at the differences between these two great athletes.
I feel like an utter loser when hearing that. I mean, this is a man who at age 39 could probably destroy another man with his own body, and me. Yeah. I can only do that if I sat on them.
There's no probably about
that,
it.
That actually led me into my question, Mr. Henderson. You're by no means an old guy, but for the MMA game, you're getting a little long in the tooth. But it seems as if you're in better shape than you've ever been, and you keep getting in better shape with every fight. What do you attribute to that? Is it genetics, or is it hard work, or a combination of both?
I don't know. Getting a little smarter with my training definitely helps, especially the older I get, the smarter you are, hopefully. You know, and experience, too. I've been around in the fight game a lot longer than a lot of these younger guys that you know, they get a little cocky and think they're a lot better than they are.
Yeah, so, I was going to ask if the youth makes them kind of discount you a little bit because your age says 39. But, I mean, obviously you fight like you're 24, but do they tend to
underestimate you maybe because of that?
I don't think I'm ever underestimated at all. It's just I think there might be a hope of theirs that maybe the age is catching up to me, and it might be their chance to get a hold of me in a better way. But, you know, I just I feel great. My body feels better than when I was competing in wrestling 10 years ago. And
did the layoff help? Did the not fighting for almost a year, did that help a lot?
No, I would say no, because you do get beat up during training camp no matter what.
Because you train that hard, it doesn't matter. It's not that big a difference.
Yeah, and you know, to not be quite as out of shape and trying to get back in shape is never fun. So,
yeah.
Last question for you, Dan. How about a few words on your opponent? What are your thoughts about Jake Shields and what you expect Saturday night?
Jake's very dangerous in certain aspects of MMA. He doesn't like to stand up and trade punches very much and utilizes his wrestling quite a bit. So, and those are two areas where I think I'm, you know, I can defend a takedown and I can knock somebody out. So that's what I'll be trying to do. And And he likes to ground and pound and hump guys to death. So I'm going to try to avoid the humping.
Sure. That's a good rule for everyone.
I think so. If you take anything away from today's Kevin Bean show, it's try to avoid the humping.
Until after the fight.
Right. Until after the fight, exactly. Well, it's a great card this Saturday night on CBS. And, of course, the big event is Jake Shields versus Dan Henderson, CBS Strike Force, this Saturday night at 9. Dan, good luck to you, my friend. Thank you so much for coming back on the Kevin Bean Show. We enjoyed talking to you.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. As you know, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, Coachella.
Ella.
Thank you. We are going to be broadcasting live tomorrow morning from there. Leaving right after the show today, heading out to the Coachella, and we're going to be broadcasting from our own K-Rock house.
You got a house? It was a temp house?
Of course.
Like a tent of some sort?
And it's a house.
Is it a K-Rock tent?
No, it's a house.
I want you to call it a tent. You can't put it. Is it a house?
It's a house.
But did it exist prior to the event?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought they just built it for you guys to broadcast.
And we're going to have Perry Farrell on tomorrow morning show. We're going to have Temper Trap play live, and we're going to have Vampire Weekend.
That sounds Sweet. Like a good show.
And then there's a bunch of other interviews and stuff all weekend long from Coachella from the world-famous K-Rock. It is 8:38.
It's Thursday. That means it's time to check in with our best boyfriend, Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew Pinsky is an addiction specialist.
Dr. Drew in the hizzy.
The host of Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew on VH1.
Jay Bangalanga, put a Jay hat on you to Bozak.
And author of a terrific book, The Mirror Effect, How Celebrity Narcissism is Seducing America.
Dr. Drizzle in the hizzle for schnizzle.
And can be heard on the nationally syndicated radio show, Love Line.
Nel tuo credo in eserato idi. I'm gonna bust my flow all up on your grill.
Music cues, I sues, I'm views, I cues, I'm twos, I cues at you zoo, my kisser, who zizzer, I z.
My name's Dr. Drew, and I am a registered sex offender. The moms just have to step up and suck it. I'm a rapist.
Can we get high? You wanted us to update it, Dr. Drew.
Oh, my God.
You wanted us to update it, right?
I what?
You wanted us to update the intro, so
no,
we did.
No, I did. I have to literally put the phone down. That's why I wasn't listening to you guys whenever I hear that thing.
Well, you missed the part where you were a rapist and a drug addict. You missed that part that we added onto the end of it.
Yeah. I want you to kick Psycho Mike in the butt for me.
All right, no problem. We'll do that.
Speaking of Psycho Mike, your co-host on the very popular Loveline nationally syndicated radio show, our friend Kevin Smith, director, writer, actor, is in studio. Kevin, did you say you've never done Loveline?
No,
just
I did
done it
a long time ago. I think the last time I did it was 2001 with my wife Jennifer, and I believe Dr. Drew was there.
Yeah, it was Chasing Amy. So was it?
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah,
that was the one
right,
we did it for.
Right.
And you were very, very cool and very cool to her because she'd never really been in front of a mic, and he was gentle with her and whatnot. And it was cool because I was sitting there. So it was like a three-way with me and Dr. Drew and my wife.
Wow. Let's relive that moment, Kevin. Come up anytime.
I'm happy to do it, sir. I'd love to talk. But
he's
meantime, I'm going to shut up and let you talk.
He's talking about showing up because, you know, he and Psycho Mike have a love thing going, too. So
yeah.
That's right. All right. Well, we got, as usual, we got a lot of ground that we have to cover with you, Dr. Drew. First of all, what's going on with you and your Twitter battle with Lindsay Lohan?
We're going steady. In a relationship.
Tell us what happened from your view.
No, well, listen, somebody asked me, you know, poor Lindsay, I've said forever that she, I'm sure one day is going to make a great recovering person, provided that she survives her addiction, but she's really, you know, got, everything I hear suggests she's really gotten in serious trouble, and I hope one day she gets it before something just horrific happens. And so somebody, like one of the Radar Online or somebody asked me, you know, what should Michael Lohan do? And I go, well, look, well, here's what I would do. For my kids, and I was desperate, I would do anything I had to do, including, you know, calling the cops if they had stuff on them, just anything, desperate to try to get the force of God to bear. And then I would beg the courts to mandate 2 or 3 years of treatment.
The story as we read it said that you would plant the drugs on the car.
Well, I would do that too if I had.
Okay.
Wow.
I'd like to see you out there trying to score it. Listen, I know. I'm serious, though. It's not for me. It's for my daughter. But that's not what it sounds like.
But the point is, I mean, you've got to go to any length. And I live in a world where people don't do that, and they cut corners, and people die because of that. And little Lindsay took issue with that, I guess. So I didn't mean any harm by it, that's for sure. Yeah. But, you know, I'd be happy to leave her alone, but I have a feeling she'll be out there in the press for quite some time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could help her if she would come to you, right? I mean, she's somebody that you offer that to anybody. You'd be happy to help, but she's got to want help.
I mean, she's had good treatment, guys. I mean, she had like 6 months of sustained treatment. It was doing well and just clearly didn't want it.
Right.
So there you go.
We're talking to Dr. Drew, by the way, on the phone, of course, the host of Loveline and also Sober House with another new episode on VH1 tonight. Speaking of Sober House, real quick, Jennifer Jimenez from your show is going to be, I guess, hosting a big event for this Sunday night. You're doing a silent auction to raise money for Artists in Recovery Service. It's a benefit concert. What's that all about, Drew?
You know, Jennifer's doing that. I'd heard she was doing it. I'm actually not involved in it.
No, all right.
So that's with good times, though. Thanks for warning me about that.
It's going to be a great show, and whoever's there is going to be good.
That's right.
Dr. Drew, let me ask you a question about Sober House now.
Yeah.
Two episodes ago, there was a fight brewing.
Yeah.
Tom Sizemore was up. He was in Mike Starr's face. Come on, let's fight. Yeah. If somebody was in my face like this, I'd fight. Let's fight. Okay, let's fight. And then it was to be continued, which I cursed your name for. And then the next episode, you show up, and there's no fight.
Well, I bummed it.
Well, don't!
I ruined it. Listen, you guys.
Fights are good.
No, fights are not good.
Oh.
No, no. That was an awful moment. Now, listen, what literally happened was I was on Loveline, and I got about half a dozen calls from Jennifer. You know, so during commercial breaks, I'm literally running to the phone, calling the house. And I thought, you know, something is really brewing. I just feel it. So I said, Jennifer, I'm coming over. So I left Loveline, drove on over there, and drove up the driveway of that house in time to see literally cameramen and sound engineers jumping off the balcony and people like died. And I heard this screaming like some sort of animal was loose in the house, and I ran in there right in the middle of that fight. I mean,
how
right
does that make you feel as the guy who runs the house to see cameramen jumping off the balcony?
I thought, oh god, here we go. But then I was angry because I was driving over, somebody called me, goes, ah, you don't need to come over. And I thought, yeah, right, I don't need to come over.
People are jumping off, everything's taken care of.
Sizemore, I'm convinced, would have thrown somebody off the balcony if I had walked in there. I walked into the most outrageous chaos I've ever seen.
And then you harshed everyone's buzz by making it, turning it into this.
Hey, Mike, I'm really sorry. Hey, I lost my temper.
Dude, Tom.
And I didn't mean to yell at you.
Get over here, man.
Yeah, I lost my temper, and a lot of it was just Heidi.
No, it's Heidi. Dude, Tom.
Yeah, I'm really sorry. I don't want to fight you either.
No, I don't know.
No, I don't want to fight anybody, especially you.
Tom.
Come on, man. We promote
a very disappointing right Dr. Drew. Very disappointing.
Guys, who's the Mike?
I did that very spontaneously. I didn't really do much with that. But what I found was poor Kendra huddled in the corner, shaking violently, and Heidi upstairs, you know, sort of.
Well, that's not so funny. That's not as funny.
Heidi is way more dangerous than I realized in the beginning.
Yeah, she can get pretty tough.
Instigates.
She's a criminal. You know, she's a great lady. I mean, we love her dearly, but she's got a way about her where she can be quite sinister.
Here's all I'm saying. I'm saying that we promote the UFC. We just talked to a guy for Strikeforce.
And you wanted me to have a fight in my sober
house. Well, I'm saying it might have spiked the ratings, and everyone loves a good fight.
Oh, my. So if we get a sucker punch like what's her name got in Jersey Shore?
Yes!
That would have made our house.
The sucker punch made Jersey Shore.
So this season, I've got to make sure that somebody gets punched in the face, especially a girl. That would be the woman. Would be the
well,
best
don't
thing.
Make sure, but just if it's going to happen, just stay out
let
of the way.
Right. Take
it like Bean's back in the back just giggling. Like,
happen, Dr. Drew.
Look, Kevin doesn't like any shows on TV that don't involve an octagon, okay? So he's just asking you to conform. Sober House with another new episode tonight on VH1. Definitely check that out. And, of course, Dr. Drew, the host of Loveline, along with Psycho Mike. Kevin Smith will be a guest very soon. We're telling you right here. That's going to be an awesome 2 hours of entertainment. Dr. Drew, thanks for coming in on the Kevin and Bean Show. We always enjoy talking to you, dude.
Okay, take care.
Thank you.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Kevin Smith in studio with us. By the way, we'll be talking to, from Flash Forward, actor John Cho.
Hey!
On the Kevin and Bean Show. That's a you watched that one, Smitty? You watching the Flash Forward?
The wife was a big fan of it. I did not. I've been in a writing period, so I haven't seen it. But she enjoys it very much.
It's good.
Good show. We'll get to the Showbiz Beat in for Ralph Garman in a minute. But first, though, of all the New Zealand musical duos who have ever had comedy shows on HBO, I got to say I think Flight of the Conchords are the best.
We see you girls checking out the front of our trunks. We see you girls looking at our junk, then checking out our rumps, then back to our sugar lumps.
If you want to see songs just like that one on stage at the Hollywood Bowl, you can. May 30th is the concert. Believe it or not, some seats are still available, or you can win them right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll make caller 25 this hour to go see Flight of the Conchords live on stage from the Kevin and Bean
Show. If you're not familiar with them, you will love it because they are bizarre. Mm. Like, you'll be sitting there and you'll go, what is this song about? No way. And then another song will come along. They're really one of those super unique groups that don't just do what everyone else does.
Yeah,
I would say the inheritors of Tenacious D.
There you go.
That's a great analogy. And by the way, is Murray one of the best characters in the history of television? Their manager, Murray?
If not the.
Yeah. I just love him so much.
No question.
All right, let's take a look at the showbiz beat. We got to start with the big story everyone was talking about yesterday. Larry King filing for divorce again. The CNN talk show host is 76 years old. He has been married. Kevin Smith, listen to this. He's been married 8 times to 7 different women.
I'm trying to do that math in my head.
Why would you...
8 times. Yeah. 7, so one of them he married twice.
Yes.
And divorced her twice, yes.
I like that. That's, he's a romantic and a realist twice in a row.
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Exactly. He is 76. His wife, Sean Southwick, is 50. And here's where the story gets super interesting. This Radar Online website, it is being reported that Larry was having an affair with his wife's sister, and that's what caused the divorce.
How old
he was sleeping
sister?
45.
So almost the same age. She must be a lot hotter, though.
She's just not bad. His wife, is what she is.
Not his wife,
not
exactly.
His wife. Yeah. Well, there is that.
Oh, no, he didn't.
I mean, so, I don't know anything about him except what I've read in the press. Seems like a nice guy. He reached out to me during the Southwest thing. He wanted me to come on the show.
Oh, did he?
And
that's
I
right.
was just like, that feels too octomom.
He
to
doesn't
me.
Know anything about it, by the way. Here's what I like about Larry King. He was the overnight radio guy for 100 years.
Right.
Now he's on CNN. He has no idea what he's talking about anymore.
Really?
Yeah, he's lost it.
Really?
And I love that.
He'd say, Kevin James, tell me about Delta.
Exactly.
Well, Larry. I mean, dude's been doing it for a long, long time.
Yes.
But all I really know of him, aside from the fact that he's a newsman, is he has a voracious sexual appetite that he feels he must marry everybody he apparently sleeps with.
Yeah.
I think you could get it done, dude, where you just have lots of sex. Stop getting married,
and don't,
Larry.
Yeah. You would think after, I don't know, 4 or 5, don't you start losing faith in your own ability to stay married?
Some people
That's
just do
point.
That. There used to be serial marriers back in the day, and then it just seems not to be in vogue anymore. But he's still doing
still
it. He's still
it.
Plugging
it
away. He's the Zsa Zsa Gabor of men.
we were talking earlier.
Hell of a don't reference.
Even though he's 76, don't you believe it's likely he will get married again? Because he apparently loves being married.
Yeah. He believes in love.
I'm
like that about
professional. Look it up in the book.
Matthew Fox is out denying the affair that a stripper is talking about. There's a stripper saying that, I think it was last year, she had sex with Matthew Fox. And my first question is, isn't stripping like being in the mafia? Like, isn't there a code?
Oh, not anymore.
There's
dude.
A code where
not
you keep your mouth shut
internet.
Or you get whacked 2 to the back of the head?
Where you
no,
can get paid
for years and years, decades, hundreds of years, centuries even, that was the case.
Right.
But in the age of the internet, now everybody's got a shot. Everybody gets a chance
but he's
to
saying,
be famous.
Absolutely not true. He's been married 23 years.
I don't
know if
I'm
at him, but he has been married for 23 years, and I don't know. He seems like a straight arrow guy.
To
he seems
never
like
hear
he
about
would
him.
Be. Yeah. And also, I mean, if he did go to a strip club, there ain't nothing inherently wrong with going to a strip club, but famous men in the world, take a note from this.
Yeah.
Even somebody as untouchable as Matthew Fox, who seems like a pretty decent guy, winds up with a stripper like, hey, we had an affair just because he popped into that. Maybe he did. Who knows? I doubt it, though. He seems like a good guy.
You have to
this
guess
is why.
Stop
yeah,
going
is...
to strip clubs. Like, that's what the internet's
well.
For.
Well,
you want to
like
look at naked boobs? Go to the internet.
If you're famous.
Yes.
Okay.
If you're not famous, then
I've been saying for years. I've been saying for years, Kevin Smith, and I can't get any support in this room except for Psycho Mike. So you tell me. This is why you kill them after you have sex with them, right?
No.
What? I'm just saying so they don't.
No. You just bury
Why
them, bury them
can't
up to their neck
these the whores just keep their big mouths shut?
Why do women hate
As we
beans?
All know, whores don't get a second chance. That's
what
that movie told us.
Now, Kevin, you were fascinated by what?
I don't think the story about his non-affair isn't the story to me because that's, you know, once again, it's one of those stories where it's just like, he might have had an affair according to somebody.
Right.
But this was interesting. I guess he did an interview in Playboy and he started breaking loose with some details about the hidden Matthew Fox, the one we don't know about.
The real one.
Yeah. His wife's name's Margarita. He says they've been best friends and best lovers. She's loved his life. They've been married for how many years?
23.
He says, we've managed to both be intensely independent and maintain that strength in our relationship. I'm a man, and I'm an appreciator of women. At the same time, Margarita is the S. I can honestly say we're good together. I mean, that's clearly a dude who he likes his wife a lot.
Yeah,
right.
Then he lets loose with this juicy bit of details. He also talks about how he lost his virginity at age 12.
12.
He's a baller.
Yes. To a clown. No. in a circus. His partner was about 2 years older than me, he says. It wasn't her first time. I can actually see the event in my mind's eye. He's saying that, not me. Like photographs. It was in Dubois, Wyoming, where the population sign probably still says to this day 1,000. He went on, it happened literally on the ground by a river while a rodeo was going on in town. It was absolutely terrible and awkward. Just two kids lying down and pulling our pants down. I got turgid reading this story. That's hot. That's passionate.
The reporter must have been saying, I asked about a stripper. I didn't even think I'd get all these details.
He's like, well, now Fox wants to talk about what Fox wants to talk about. And Fox, do you hear me? F-O-X. Good for him, man. He's coming out there
with
those
details.
Did
you say he's a
foxer? I think he, yeah, I'd say he foxed her.
Okay.
pretty awkwardly, he says.
Yeah, not so good.
According to the story, she foxed him.
All right.
He was 12. She was 2 years older.
All right. Good times.
Good for him, man, right?
Yeah.
This is a dude who had knocked up. They were like, you know, remember Seth's like, you know what's interesting about Matthew Fox? Nothing.
Right.
Now there is. There's something that's kind of cool about Matthew Fox. Hey, do we have enough time to do the Stars Walk of Fame thing?
Yeah, if you hurry.
I will. Congrats to Russell Crowe, who picked up the 2,404th star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. More than 500 fans attended the ceremony, including Ron Howard, who directed A Beautiful Mind, and Jay Leno. He's got a movie coming out called Robin Hood. It's opening the Cannes Film Festival, but it prompted Time Magazine to do a list of the 10 dubious stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I'm going to go in reverse order. Number 10, The Rugrats. Fair enough, you know, cartoon characters,
so
do they really
too.
Deserve? But they've been in two features and a TV programming,
two,
so maybe.
Not a lot.
Number 9, Michael Bolton.
Yeah.
I mean, but he's a singer, and there are singers on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. But, you know.
Yeah.
Number 8, the Harlem Globetrotters.
See, to me, they're worldwide entertainers. I can see that.
Yeah, yeah. And
I
also, they've
been
very big TV fixtures. They were in the Scooby-Doo cartoons. I say they deserve it.
Gilligan's Island.
Sure,
yes.
There was that.
Thomas Edison. He has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Now, Thomas Edison, for those who don't know, invented cinema. So
well,
I think that's why he has it.
Probably have the
motion
very
picture camera, yeah.
But who told me the detail yesterday about he was Chase West? Was that you?
Who do you think? Me?
Yeah, it was obviously it was dictionary, Bean. Encyclopedia Bean.
Right.
What did you say? He was Chase West? Or he chased people west? That's why Hollywood was created?
Right. The reason why Time Magazine suggests his is a dubious star is that he was very proprietary with the original equipment for motion pictures. He wouldn't let anybody else use it. So people couldn't. He basically tried to kill the movie industry by keeping it all to himself. So that's why people went 3,000 miles away as far as possible. And how they ended up in California to make movies was
story,
to get out
man.
Of under the thumb of Thomas Edison, that evil bastard.
Yeah, who knew he was like the great and powerful Oz?
Right, exactly.
And then you look behind the curtain, he's a little old man. Number
thanks for that info, Bean.
I like that. I think the whole show should be Bean with anecdotes and info.
Yeah, you can do that on chat,
on
your
podcast.
Your private IM.
Number 5 is Vanna White. Do we all agree with that? She's a good pop culture fixture.
Sure.
I guess.
I think she's fine for a star.
But what has she done to deserve a star? That's the point.
Turns those letters, man. It's hard.
She
looks good all these years.
She's famous for a long time.
She kept it together. She kept thin all those years.
Here's
Maybe that's why they gave her the star.
Here's what I think. People who come from out of town to see the Hollywood Walk, they should know who those people are.
Well, and they know her.
That's true.
So I'm fine with that.
Well, they'll know number 4, Big Bird.
Yeah.
Okay. I agree with Big Bird.
Woo!
It has to. Come on. He's a television staple.
Yeah, but not a person.
Yeah.
And he was
they
in a
divide
movie.
Those stars up into radio, stage, television, and film.
Yes.
And in television, Big Bird is one of the longest running huge television stars.
I completely agree. He's one of the most famous birds on the planet.
Dumb.
mean. Number 3, Judge Judy. Come on, really?
No.
Why does she get a star?
She doesn't. She
Me
doesn't.
Before Judge Judy, I've made like 9 movies.
Right.
Judge Judy, for heaven's sakes, man. She's not even an actress.
She has had one of the top syndicated television shows.
I don't even care.
Yay.
She doesn't even
years.
Play a good judge on TV.
That's baloney.
Right. There you go.
It doesn't make sense.
She does, right. That one
She's
I highly object with, yeah. Number 2 is Disneyland. Can you give a whole theme park a star?
Well, they did, but it seems odd.
That's the question. That's, why? Yeah, that one is. Look, I like Disneyland as much as the next guy, but that's not even a living, breathing entity.
Give it to Walt to be done.
But Big Bird is.
Well, there's a guy in Big Bird.
It's a living
well,
and breathing entity.
Guy.
Yeah, you got me there, man.
All right.
And number 1 is David Spade. They've been Time Magazine put David Spade as number 1.
That is odd.
That's weird.
Hilarious.
I mean, David Spade, whether you like him or not, he's been doing a lot.
Right.
He's been TV, SNL for years. He did all those movies.
Like
Farley.
Him or not, he's
yeah,
a famous
he's,
actor.
And he's a survivor. He's still around.
Yeah, I agree.
Cut him some slack.
That's ridiculous.
And give me a star, man. Judge Judy has a star. This irritated me more than anything else this morning. Double J's got a star, and I'm sitting there, you know, not having a star.
We could put our considerable weight of the Kevin Bean Show behind you getting a star, but we've been trying for 3 years to get Adam West on the damn sidewalk, and we haven't
Adam
been able
West
to figure out how to do
on
that.
The sidewalk.
He does.
But
he
can't you buy, I mean, if I remember correctly, you could buy this sort of thing.
You have to pay 10 grand.
But you can also, like, reach out to them and be like, I would like to pay 10 grand to have a star.
Right,
well, they
still have to vote, though.
They have to vote you?
They still have to vote you.
Really? Really?
Yeah. Okay, so it's not Kevin Bean.
Really?
Well, I know that Johnny Grant,
yeah,
the mayor, the unofficial mayor of Hollywood,
the dead one, right? Hated us with a passion.
Why?
I don't remember. We made fun of him or something. You know, whatever.
Right,
I don't
one
know.
Of those.
But
things.
He hated
but now
us.
So he's gone.
Yes,
he is gone.
He can't stop you anymore.
Well,
would
no.
you guys want one star or two separate stars?
No, we don't. We don't want a star.
But I'm saying,
no, we don't want stars. We were saying we were trying to.
But let's say they were
going
to give it to you though. Would you want a single star or a Kevin star and a Bean star?
I wouldn't want a star. I think it would be foolish.
If they're giving it to you because they know it irritates you, so they're giving it to you.
Okay.
Which one?
I don't care. They're both, I guess.
Both together, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
you guys
absolutely.
Are like one entity. Like Ebert and Roper, or Ebert, Siskel and Ebert would have one star.
Right.
And so you guys would have one star.
Yeah, I would think so.
But
out-of-towners
wouldn't know who they were.
That's my complaint.
Yeah, but all the people that walk up and down the boulevard who live here would be like, those dudes on the radio.
Let's shelve this for another day because we're desperately out of time. If you want to know the celebrity birthdays, get the goddamn internet like the rest of us.
Seth Rogen's birthday, that's all that matters. Seth Rogen.
John Cho from Flash Forward joins us next on The Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Always excited to catch up with our next guest, who, of course, is Lieutenant Sulu in the Star Trek movies. We loved him in Nick and Nora, and he will forever and always be Harold from the Harold and Kumar movies, now seen on Flash Forward Thursday nights on ABC. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend John Cho back on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, John, how are you, man?
Hey, good. Morning, guys.
Great to talk to you again. Very excited about the Flash Forward. Great show, and I hate what they've been doing with so many of these shows, particularly on ABC lately, where they take you off for so long, and then you got to come back and kind of start all over again. Have you experienced any kind of frustration with how that's been going?
Yeah, I mean, that's not the easiest thing to go off, and people think that your season's over, and you know, they lose the thread on the show, and some people start to lose a little interest that they had at the beginning of the season, but our numbers are doing decently, and what can I say? We're coming back, and I think the second half of the season is really strong.
And especially in a show like Flash Forward, where there is a through line. You know, it's not like,
exactly.
It's not like Modern Family or something where they kind of have their own episode. Each one you can watch and not the last one.
We do try, though, to give kind of closure to every hour, though. I think the writers work very hard at that, is that you can enter whenever you want.
Right. That's what
it is a complicated story, but it has, like Lost, and I know you got a lot of comparisons to Lost at the beginning just because of the grand themes, because of the big picture with lots of characters and moving back and forward in time. But you get the impression, you get the feeling anyway, as a viewer, at least I do, that it's going to be worth it, that the mystery is going to be solved. And this incredible thing, this blackout that happened, is such a fascinating premise. Like, what could cause that, and what could it possibly mean when people see their future 6 months ago? I mean, it's really a brilliant concept, and it must be a lot of fun, all the different ways you can kind of explore that.
It is, and I think, you know, and I think what makes it fun for the writers and for the actors as well is that, you know, especially in comparison to Lost is a very complicated mythology, and ours is pretty straightforward. That is that, you know, there was a blackout. What happened? How did it happen?
That's it, right?
And then that's it. And then really where the complication sets in is, how does it affect the individual's lives? And I think that's what the show is really about, is how it affects its citizens, really.
For people who haven't been watching, catch them up on what it means, what the people saw during that blackout time.
Well, you mean like what's happened to the various characters?
No, but people see the future.
Right. People see the future. The whole world blacks out for 2 minutes, 17 seconds, and everyone has their own vision of the future 6 months from now. And
does it freak people the F out, right?
What's that?
Well, it really freaks people out, too, because they don't know whether is this in stone and it's destiny and I can't change it, or is there any way, like your character, for instance, your FBI agent, he dead.
Right.
He doesn't want that.
You didn't have any flash forward, right? You didn't see a future.
I didn't have any flash forward, and it's like, and you don't really know what to make of it, and that's what the fun of the show is, because you're only seeing one piece of a jigsaw puzzle and you're trying to extrapolate an entire portrait, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes people are correct, and sometimes they're dead wrong.
Right.
And here's what I'm looking forward to, and we're talking to actor John Cho about Flash Forward tonight at 8 on ABC. What I'm looking forward to is tonight, your character, Dimitri, as I understand it, is going to do what I thought he would have done months ago, which is, hey, I want to marry the super hot Gabrielle Union. I'm not going to wait to find out if I'm dead or not. I'm just going to go ahead and push up the wedding date. And that's what you try to do tonight, right?
That's right. So I say, listen, I finally say, let's blow town. Let's get away from the people who are going to murder me. which seems like a simple move.
Sure.
Flee and make love to the super hot Gabrielle Union.
That, listen, that is what all guys would do.
That's the smart move, I think.
Absolutely. The only move. All right. No question about that.
This is going to be tough, but it gives you an idea. For folks who haven't seen the show, I want you to listen to this clip and A, realize how honked up it is, and B, realize how much you have to watch it. There is a guy who is one of the masterminds of the flash forward. We don't know exactly how much he knows, but he knows more than we do about what causes it. Yeah. They found this tape from 20 years ago or something like that, and he had all this foreknowledge of what was going to happen. The FBI guys, including John's character, are watching the tape, and listen what they say about it.
Degradation rate in the magnetic tape plus the date of production makes it authentic. The only explanation, however implausible, is that Frost flashed forward from 1991 to our present and saw us in Somalia. Then in 1991, he makes a tape he knows we'd find.
That's a 19-year flash forward. And March 15th, the day he dies in his future?
Is the date I'm supposed to be murdered.
Okay. All that's
right.
Bad news.
Okay. All right. That's all right.
That is bad news.
That's
all right.
Good.
Before you go, John, so tonight's episode is April 15th, and you got another new one next week, the 22nd. And then April 29th is going to be another episode, which is the actual date of the flash forward.
Yes.
And it's going to be kind of unfolding in real time as if it's really April 29th, 2010, when that episode airs, right?
That's right.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool. That's pretty cool.
And this and Dyson Frost makes a very strong reappearance. It's about to get really ridiculous in
awesome.
A good way.
Love it.
In a good
it's
way.
About to hey, be listen, ridiculous. We love ridiculous. That's our thing.
All right. Check it out tonight at 8 on ABC. It is Flash Forward. John, great to catch up with you on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Thanks for coming in.
Fellas, thanks a lot.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:44.
Hey.
A lot of people have forgot about Harvey Danger, not us in the Kevin and Bean Show. We are flying that flag proudly. All right. Hey, it's producer Alex filling in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat this hour. What's going on?
Don't bogart.
Nope, that's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. I got another day to work still.
Sorry.
This
week has got to be over.
But tomorrow we're going to be out at Coachella, so that'll be great.
Ooh-ooh.
Yep.
All right. Is Robert Pattinson two-timing Kristen Stewart?
What?
Sources tell In Touch Weekly that Twilight Hottie was seen doing the early morning walk of shame outside Leighton Meester's New York City apartment.
Much better. Man.
Talk about an upgrade.
Kidding.
All
how
right.
Does he have the energy?
Maybe he saves it all for sex.
Maybe that's
maybe during sex he's just a crazy
he's
guy.
He's in his hotel just with his only friend is a guitar. He's got nothing.
Guitar and a naked Leighton Meester. Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt's bodyguards claim he's been seeing Jennifer Aniston. The bodyguards tell In Touch magazine that the exes hooked up at the 2009 Academy Awards and have seen each other three times since then.
I don't buy this for a second.
I would like to suggest that I could not care. How do you say it being right? Correctly. I couldn't
could
care,
not
less.
Care, less.
Care
less.
I could care less. I don't care. They can get together. Not. It's been longer than Ross and Rachel on Friends. All right. Just, they are. They aren't. I don't care. I don't care.
It's a lot of drama.
What I'm saying is I don't care.
Do you care?
I don't care.
So you care a lot?
Don't care at all. Not a bit.
South Park's Trey Parker and Matt Stone are now working on a new musical that Kevin and I will actually go see.
Absolutely.
It's called The Book of Mormon, which is destined for Broadway in March of next year. The New York Times reports the pair have gotten together with one of the guys who co-created Avenue Q, which if you guys haven't seen is awesome. It's like a bunch of dirty puppets. To work up the show about two young Mormon missionaries, which will also parody the story of Joseph Smith, who founded Mormonism and magical underpants in the 19th century. Kesha, this is a great story for Kevin. Kevin's favorite. If you don't know,
I do love
listeners,
her.
Kevin loves Kesha. So just email him pictures of her
don't do that.
Or
she's
videos. Loves her.
The death of music.
She did a recent interview in Interview Magazine, and they were wondering if they basically think her whole image is just make-believe. If she's just pretending to be eccentric in order to garner publicity.
Huh. I wonder what the answer to that is.
It worked for Lady Gaga.
But the singer swears she really is a freak. She says, quote, in the magazine, none of it is fabricated. Like, I have a belief like that if I wear my placenta in a necklace, there's a possibility of me gaining second sight, like being psychic. I would be wearing it whether or not I was in the public eye. I went yesterday to a past life regressionist, and he told me that in my past life, I was assassinated. I'm pretty sure that I was JFK.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah. Kesha also says we should not refer to her as a star or pop star because that label is douchey, and I am not kidding. She would like us to refer to herself as, quote, dance commander.
You lie!
Okay, wait.
Oh, it's in here, dude.
Okay, but that, to me, is clearly a joke. If she's serious about that, we need to have her exported from the country. We need to kick her out.
You understand this is not for publicity, right? She's really this wacky and eccentric.
Oh, good for you.
This is Kim Petticoat on our toes, trying on all our clothes, boys blowing up our phones. This is my favorite story of, it broke last night and there's more news today, and I love old people drama. Normally, Larry King, whatever. He should be off CNN because he's a hot mess.
No, he should be on CNN because he's a hot mess.
But this old people drama rivals The Hills. It's fantastic. TMZ has learned Larry King filed for divorce, from his wife, Sean Southwick. It is the seventh time King's pulled the plug on a marriage. Larry is 76, and Sean is 50, by the way. She's not really 50.
Whoa, only in America. Wow.
Yeah, take it easy.
They were married back in 1997 and have two sons together. TMZ has learned Larry King's marriage fell apart because Sean believes Larry was banging her sister, Shannon.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. He's a baller.
He's a baller.
Here's kidding?
Here's the deal.
You're amazing.
Apparently, Sean has believed this affair has been going on for 5 years.
Expand on that.
Friends tell TMZ there were numerous instances where the couple would fight, and they even got into a punching, shoving match outside of Nate and Al's in Beverly Hills about a year ago.
That's, well, she could kill him.
Exactly.
He's so fragile.
Apparently, I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Well, apparently, Larry, you weren't too professional with your credit card statements.
Uh-oh.
Because Sean checked the Visa statement, and she noticed a Cartier diamond necklace and said, quote, he never gave me a diamond necklace.
Whoa.
Yeah, you're a little perturbed now.
Apparently, Larry bought her sister this diamond necklace and a $160,000 car. But he's not sleeping with her.
Okay. So you've had, would you say, a limited vocabulary due to not a great education?
Apparently back in 07.
By the way, she should be sleeping with him if he's buying her that much.
It's the least you can do.
Right.
Really. Back in 07, in an effort to show he was committed to their marriage, Larry transferred three mansions that were in his name over to Sean to say, look, I'm with you. Here you go. Two houses in Utah, one in Beverly Hills. Now in Larry's new legal divorce documents, he's asking the judge to void those transfers.
What are you going to do for 69?
Like not so much with giving that woman my houses.
You know the whole thing about the houses? Can I take that back?
Right. I like this one.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
Celebrities born today: Emma Thompson, Ed O'Brien of Radiohead, Anna Torv, Seth Rogen, and Emma Watson. I am Alex. That is your Showbiz Beat.
Okay, explain the pink.
Don't have time. Larry? Sorry, don't have time. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new program. We cannot vouch for its quality, as we are on location, and sometimes that goes well, sometimes it doesn't.
Oh, I hope Omar brings the reggaeton horn.
Me too. I'm sorry, I went to the Coliseum. I don't know why I went there. I'm sorry, I'm late.
I'm going to be bad, too. I'm going to have coffee and tequila. You're dragging me out to the desert at 6 a.m.
We're going out to Coachella, which is out
in Bonnaroo.
It's near Palm Springs.
Nashville.
For those of you that don't live in the area. So it's out in the middle of the desert. We have a house that's out there. It's the radio station Coachella house that we're going to be broadcasting from. We have Perry Farrell stopping by.
Ooh-oh.
I don't think he's going to help with the sobriety of me. We have the Temper Trap. It's a band. They're going to be performing live.
That's awesome.
Acoustic. And we have Vampire Weekend stopping by.
Oh, great.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
And then we also have Movie Beat because it's Friday and stuff like that. And then Kat's going to broadcast from the house after us, and she's got guests as well, and it's going to continue all weekend long.
Oh, that's great.
So that is all tomorrow morning. All new Kevin and Bean Show.
And that same Kat is coming up next here with Rage Against the Machine, also Pearl Jam, Slightly Stupid, Green Day, and The Temper Trap we were just talking about, and their great song, Sweet Disposition, all straight ahead as part of 40 Minutes Nonstop. K-Rock next.
You're amazing.